I remember the conversation, but that doesn't mean.
And I don't think.
Well, we talked about it before.
Holy cow.
We decided to hold off.
Did the policies.
And we never did it. Okay. All right. Three. Okay. That's three of us now. That remember.
I remember you didn't do it. Or you didn't that follow remember through
we
with
didn't
it.
Do it. Yeah.
Okay. All of those other boards. Joanna, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to call a regular meeting of the Northwest City Council to order. Joanna, would you please call the roll?
Mayor Novak?
Here.
Councilmember Klein?
Here.
Councilmember Garner?
Here.
Councilmember Monroe?
Here.
Councilmember Pies?
Here.
Councilmember Lindsay? Councilmember Miller?
Here.
Councilmember Parsons?
Here.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
I invite you to stand and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance and to remain standing for the invocation.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And tonight's invocation will be delivered by Police Chaplain Brett Truax.
Please bow with me. Almighty God, how we thank you for this extraordinary time of year. Lord, for the Christmas that we find in the night and morning air, for the unfolding beauty of the changing leaves, for the laughter that comes from the mouths of youth and children who are on the soccer and football fields, for the anticipation of the holiday season that's right around the corner. For these and all of the blessings that you bestow upon us, Father, we thank you this night, and we pray that you would help us not to miss those. Lord, I know for the men and women before us tonight, for Mayor Novak and for the council, that you have granted and charged them with special responsibilities to care for and to watch over our community. And to that end, I pray for each and every one of them, that you would bestow upon them wisdom and discernment for this night, that you would help them to see and to hear through the eyes and the ears of others. But even as they shoulder those responsibilities, Father, on a day-to-day basis, I'd ask that you would help them not to lose sight of this great gift that you have given us of life, that there would be opportunities for them to take a nice long walks, to stop and gaze up into the trees, to spend time with friends and family and loved ones. Lord, to enjoy all that you have given to us, all that you intend for us. For the others who so faithfully serve this community, Lord, I pray that you would be with them, and especially for the men and women who daily run the risk of placing themselves in harm's way. I ask your hand of protection upon the firefighters, upon the police officers, Lord, that you might stand guard about them, that they might be able to return home at the end of their shift safely. May your spirit guide all that takes place here this evening. And we pray this in that name that truly is the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.
Thank you. Next on the agenda, we have agenda additions and deletions. I just have a couple comments. We will have an economic development report. A financial report. Alfinetta will give that this evening. And staff has requested an executive session following adjournment on contractual memo or contractual issues, and there is a memo on the dais for council explaining more in depth what that is. Are there any council added items? Rosie?
Can we add a D? It's that time of the year for the performance appraisal committee and the outside agency.
Under discussion.
Yeah.
Under
discussion?
Well, yeah, I think so. Outside agency funding committee.
Okay.
I would like to add to discussion item Safe Street Halloween and NNDC. Building permit
we've
already
asked for. Okay. Jim?
Can I actually remove Council Bill 1580?
Find it here.
Under ordinance's first reading?
Yes.
Okay, we'll delete CB 1580. Any other addition, deletions?
And
thank you. And we need to also make sure that we're taping this. We'll try and speak closer to the microphone for everybody. And if we're not, again, please let us know so that we can accommodate everybody. Any other additions or deletions? Okay. Moving on then, is public invited to be heard? Anyone who would like to address council on any issue not set for public hearing? We do have three public hearings, but I'd ask you to please come forward, sign in, state your name for the record, and if possible, try to keep it in 5 minutes.
No problem. My name is Marion Kimsey, and I'm here to announce the International Day of Peace on September 21st, which is Thursday, and we call it Peace Day 2006. I have flyers out at the parks and around the city. In this particular one, I'm not really in charge of. I work with a lady by the name of Dawn Dirks. She used to do work for Front Range Community College in the Cultural Department. And so I'm working with her in putting on this event, and it'll be at E.B. Raines Park at the two big pavilions by the lake. So hopefully we can get quite a number of people to come. She's planning on having several different cultures participating, and mostly with their music and whatnot, entertaining us and maybe saying a few things about their culture. So I hope you can all come. This lady I met just recently. She's a very nice lady, and she works with, she and I are working together with Kate Michaud and Kay Madden. So we hope you will all attend, and please spread the word.
Could you again tell us the time?
The time is from 5 to 7:30 p.m. So bring your lunch with you.
Okay.
Jim? I think that just answered because isn't that going to have a study session next week?
No, we're not. Or? We won't have it because several of us will be.
Could we?
We won't be up.
You have to know what to do.
Yeah.
We must. Thank you. And I also wanted to thank you, Marion, for your efforts, for everything you did this summer around diversity and the peaceful. We passed a resolution on inclusive communities. We joined a partnership with the National League of Cities, and we received notification this week that our sign will be forthcoming, that this is North Glen. We're building an inclusive community, and a lot of that's due to your efforts, so I'd like to thank you, and
when
this happens, to have another big celebration about what it means to be an inclusive community as well. So,
well, that's good. I'm glad to see that that's helping out. I hope that we can do our part and help make this world a better place to live. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to address council?
Yes, ma'am.
Come on down.
First off, the wife told me to make sure that I make an announcement for next week is Constitution Week all week starting Monday the 17th. Please fly your flags. She is a member of the Daughters of American Revolution, and you had a proclamation here last time. I got some questions here. Is the north side of 104th Avenue going to be rotomilled and seal coated? If not, why?
Yeah, it just came up. The answer is no, because, and correct me if I'm wrong, Steve and Kurt, We have an agreement with an intergovernmental agreement with the city of Thornton regarding the maintenance and on that of 104th, 120th, some of these major streets. The city line actually goes straight down 104th in the median. So the south side is Thornton. As part of their capital plan, they chip sealed that portion of it. It's not in our capital plan for this year or the near future. And in fact, Councilman Miller raised the question at the study session last week, you know, well, did they at least tell us? Maybe we could have coordinated. And we did not know until you knew when we were laying
Well, you couldn't go down there or you'd get your windshield chipped.
Yes.
I don't know whether I'm on the out of order in this or not. On 1578, I was watching your Channel 8 the other night, and you guys spent over 25 minutes debating on this. The time before, you spent about 40 minutes deciding where to place the trash containers. Mm-hmm. I think we can have better use of the council to different things. Yes?
It's those big issues that cause all the debate.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Please. I talked with Councilman Martin today, and we're actually going to, with his permission, pull that one for now. And myself and him are going to probably get with the code enforcement and stuff to see, because I saw I had some concerns with enforceability of it. And stuff, you know, issues like that, it's even, to me, it's in the wrong section of the code that it should be in. So we're going to pull it for now and come back. And so hopefully we're not going to be debating it.
It's not something generated by council either. It's come to my attention from a citizen who would like this addressed. So I do realize we spent some time on it, and we're probably going to spend some more time on it. But with luck, we'll get it resolved.
And actually, we already have an ordinance that the trash containers have to be at the back setback of the house.
It's currently that says the front, behind the front setback. And actually, your house is one of the ones that I've used as an example of where we should have it set. And I'll actually come by and talk to you about it, so because I think you'll understand when I talk to you about it.
If I'm not going to do anything with it, I mean, it's going to sit there. You have to give me a ticket or whatever, or if you want to put up a fence or.
I think you'll be satisfied with
okay.
What.
Okay. I hope so. One other thing from the Liquor Authority, we've discussed you should make bigger signs for the public parks regarding no alcohol consumption in them without a special permit. And they are so small at the present time that most of these people don't even see them. And they see other people with a permit in there drinking their beer. And so they say, well, I can do it too, you know. So,
okay.
And I guess that's, oh, on our weeds, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and possibly 9 places that the city has not even touched.
You'll give those addresses to Mr. Zowett. We'll make sure that we follow up on those.
Okay, I'll get a blank piece of paper someplace. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else like to address council?
Mayor Novak, council, citizens of Northland. Pertaining to...
Would you just state your name for the record?
My name is Irvin Baker. Pertaining to the subject that this gentleman just addressed, it's common knowledge that the time spent on any subject will be in inversely proportional to the complexity of the subject.
Absolutely.
I hope that will be remembered when you deal with small items.
So noted.
Can you come back every
trash.
Week?
Trash. Keep reminding
I have,
us of that.
I have 3 or 4 questions for council and the mayor. One is, how much money has been spent on our 120th development, and how much money has been committed that is not yet spent? I'd like to see those totals so I can understand them. I understand it's a pretty large number, but I have no idea what it is. Okay?
I think Mr. Zoe could actually supply you a map.
I don't want a map. I want a number, sir.
The map has the numbers on them, and it shows you each parcel of land, how much was spent to purchase each parcel of land. I have requested the same thing, as well as the entire staff time that's been spent on it. The one thing I have not gotten is the staff time, so I could not answer that for you. But the map at least shows the costs.
Will that also include the cost of the election, sir?
I couldn't tell you that.
Okay. I'm talking about total cost, not bits and pieces. I want to see the whole thing so I can understand it. Right now, I don't understand it.
We can pull that together.
Was the $50,000 earnest money on Flood Court forfeited? That's question number two.
By the theater?
No, the 112.
Oh, 112. I thought you said 120.
Was that money forfeited?
Yes.
Okay, that's $50,000 down the drain, I think. Okay?
That's 112, not 120.
That's not 120.
No, I said 112.
Oh, you first
earlier I said 120.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Perhaps I missed.
We understand.
Kathy. I
understand now.
Mayor, I don't know. Okay.
Can I ask what election he's referring to?
Yes, which election are you talking about?
The election to
the
get this recreation thing killed up here. That's a part of that 120th development, I think.
Yeah, we just want to make
and
sure.
And also
that
the studies that went into it.
Okay.
The whole thing over the last 3 years is what I'd like to see. I guess the next question would be, when will this start bearing fruit so money can be returned to Treasury to make up for the expenditures? I don't have the faintest idea what that date is, and I suggest none of you do either.
No, we know the next step in the process. With the departure of Century Theaters, our developers and working with city staff are going to go and spend some time really talking to the community and getting a sense of what the community wants, because the nature of the project has changed. So it's in combination with that, and they're still continuing to work on it. They have to do a new site plan, again, because it's changed significantly, mm-hmm. and they're still working on getting tenants and interested businesses. So it's a combination of market forces and a desire to be inclusive of our citizens in that process.
Well, I would like to look upon this endeavor as a piece of business.
Absolutely.
Okay. A business plan also includes when you're going to start getting return on your investment.
That's true.
We have no idea when we'll get a return or if we ever will.
And our business partner just severed that relationship unilaterally.
I know all of this.
So
okay.
Can I just make sure that so he's getting exactly what he? I want to make sure that Steve. I want to make sure you understand too, because I want to make clear. So you're wanting to know the expenses that have been paid, like the development up here on 120th Avenue for purchasing land, the money that's came out of the general fund or other funds to pay for up here. That's what you're wanting to know.
Yeah.
Are you wanting to know staff time that's been spent on it?
I don't believe I care to know about staff time, because we're paying them. You're paying you anyway. So that doesn't increase the cost.
So you understand what I said? That's all that you want.
We'll get that information, and if you want more, we're happy to do that.
I'd like to know who I can pick it up from when.
Steve, do you want to coordinate with Mr. Baker?
All right, I'll give you my name in a minute, sir.
Jim, don't you already know that it was like $12 million from your initial request?
It's something like that. I was trying to see if I could actually pull up.
In land purchases, yeah.
But the reason I'm questioning this, it looks like this whole thing is not being handled in a business-like manner. And that makes me ill that my city would be in that position. And I got to look to you folks to fix it.
Well, I think we might have a differing opinion on that, but without the
information... Well, I understand that.
Right, without the information you are asking for,
yeah, but
I
when
don't
you
understand
don't,
your conclusion. So,
but, Madam Mayor, when you don't know when your return will start...
I understand.
Okay?
Yep, we'll get you that information.
That's the problem, mm-hmm. as far as I can see. And no end of spending in sight that I can see yet. And
we'll
by the way, that should include consultant fees on this also.
Okay.
I guess that's as much griping as I can do in one evening. I want to thank
you. Have another chance at the end if you think
I
of more.
I
want to
thank you for your patience.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Baker. Anyone else who would like to address council?
Could I add one small thing?
Mm-hmm.
I called to get some cement repaired on my sidewalk. They told me they'd put me on a list and get to it in 5 years.
Well, that may actually
is that
be
is that the kind of shape my city's in? My God.
Well,
pardon the expression.
Is the sidewalk the homeowner's responsibility? Is the city's?
Cities.
When I lived in Denver, it was different.
It is the city's responsibility. I knew that.
Sir, if you have an email address, you could tell me I could forward you that map.
Excuse me?
Sir, if you have an email address, I could literally forward you that map right now.
No, I don't have an email.
I can't print it here.
And I doubt whether it's going to tell me all that I want to know anyway.
I agree with you there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. My name is Patty Campbell. I live in Ward 2, and I have some questions and then maybe some comments or suggestions. Where are we at in the different reports that staff has been giving on the budget on their particular division and department?
All of the council study sessions have taken place, and staff is currently in the process of finalizing that budget, and it will be presented to council on the 21st.
Of this month.
Of September, correct. We will get those in our boxes.
And then the budget does not have to be decided upon until...
It must be approved and reported to the state by the end of the year. Typically, we take action and vote finally, correct me if I'm wrong, Corey, in November. We tend to have public hearings in October.
Okay. And then the other question I had is, what is the time frame that we're looking at now for a city manager and that being finalized?
Sure. And it's up for discussion and an update on that later on this evening. But we did first one round of interviews. We pared the list down, and we will be asking finalists to come back. We will announce those names this evening and go through the process. But it will take place the weekend of the 29th and 30th. And at that point, we hope to give direction to our attorney to negotiate a contract with the candidate we have selected, and then when those terms have been reached, then we will announce the finalists. So hopefully we can do that relatively quickly after the beginning of October and get somebody on board quickly.
Okay. And then back to the budget. I remember back at the beginning of the summer when everything was started with that process, but there was a point made of a type of equation you wanted to follow. And I can't remember all the details, but it was, maybe equation is not the right word, but comparisons. Mm-hmm. What was absolutely necessary.
Correct.
Now, what were some of the other terms and descriptions used?
What was necessary, must, and should do. So
must, should, and would
must
like
should
to.
And would like to.
Right.
So necessary, must, which
well,
is
must, we really,
must, should, would like to.
These
okay.
are the things we should do. These are the things that we would like to do.
Okay.
And counter staff is currently paring down the request that came in out as typically out they're greater than the revenues that we project, so those will be pared down, and there will be some recommendations by staff, and council will make the final decisions on what is actually included in that budget. We have to do a balanced budget, and we have every year, and we will do this year as well. So there'll be some difficult choices, mm-hmm. And there will be a public hearing on those choices as well before that budget is passed. So if the public has input and doesn't agree with our prioritization, there's opportunity to voice that and for council to make any changes if necessary.
Okay. Well, I've been out of town a little bit here, so that's why I needed some refreshing on this. But on the agenda, the reason I was asking these questions is something I saw on the agenda. These are items that came to my mind, and I couldn't remember all the answers on them. But that, I guess I would like to lump everything together here in a suggestion or comment. Looking at resolutions 110, CR 110, 11, and 12, where, you know, another question I have, I would really like to hear some comments on when these come up as to why this is being done now, because it obviously was not being done earlier. What is the hurry right now? And with, you know, my thoughts, what we must do, should do, would like to do. we don't have enough money. I've heard concerns about streets. I've heard concerns about many other details of our infrastructure, very basic things. And when I see this, you know, it just, it makes me wonder why all of this now. We have a city manager coming on board soon. What's the rush? Why can restraint not be practiced and exercised at this point and wait until the new city manager is here and leave him some decisions that need to be made? We just have a little bit more time to go. And, you know, once again, must do, should do, would like to do.
And there will be, I think, some good discussion there, but primarily the reasons are because those decisions are not city manager decisions. They're city council decisions, and solely under the purview of the city council.
Yeah, you know, I thought of that, too. It kind of sets the stage, though, for the city manager and, you know, what's going on here. Sure. And how things are being operated.
And we'll discuss that at that, you know, time, too.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Campbell? Ms. Campbell? This is a draft of our budget right now, which I loan to you, because I know you'll get it back to me if you want to review what's in here. A lot of reading, and I know you'll read it.
And most of the, and all the PowerPoints and the stuff backing that up are actually on the website, right, as yep, well.
And sometimes so I know it's easier to read paper copy if you want to borrow this from.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to address council?
Don Autumn, Award 1. First off, I'd like to start off by thanking council for their cooperation with the Relay for Life and the use of our park and a sponsorship of a couple of teams. I want to let you know this year, so far we were at $98,000. Our goal is $105,000, and if past practice prevails, we should exceed that. Money is still coming in.
That's wonderful.
So once again, I want to thank you for that. Now, resolutions. CR 110, 111, 112. 10% raises when we on fixed income get 3% raises from Social Security. And in order to facilitate that, they jack up our Medicare. Our supplemental insurance jacks up their prices, and we come out with a net loss. I'd sure love to get 10% some way. And it seems to me that we are paying Cherry Hill's salary, but we live in North Glen. And especially CR 111. We have a city manager that was a deputy city manager. Part of the responsibilities of being a deputy city manager is to step in if something happens and the city manager is no longer here. They know that going in. Therefore, they should be able to fill out their term until appointed as permanent city manager or something else happens. I don't think we need to give a bonus. The prior city manager, we negotiated a bonus to get his resignation. This city manager quit. I don't think they deserve a bonus for quitting. And as far as our present city manager, acting city manager, the way this contract is written, it could be a lifetime 10% increase. It's up to the new city manager to decide when and if to terminate the 10% part of the agreement. That's not a city manager's responsibility. That is council's responsibility. That's all I have.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to address council? Seeing no one come forward, we will move on the agenda. Next is presentations, and I'd like to invite Chief O'Hara up and to give us an update. What's going on with the training center?
Thank you. Mayor, members of council, good evening. I'm John O'Hare, Chief of North Metro Fire Rescue District, and I'd like to take just a couple of minutes to bring you up to speed on what has occurred, what is occurring, and what the future holds for the training center and fire station, which are to be constructed in Section 36. I have requested that staff pass out just a, I think it's a four-page summary, possibly five, and there are some additional copies in the back for the audience if they choose to follow along. And I'd like to just take a minute, if I might, Mayor Novak, to talk about the second page, which is the current site plan alignment for the training center, fire station, and maintenance facility, all to be constructed on the approximately 12.5-acre site. The first thing I'd like to point out is that you can see in the upper left-hand corner in the east-west orientation, County Road 4, Weld County Road 4. And you will also notice, per city request, city staff request, which I believe came also from council back in April of 2005, that we did realign this site. Originally, it was going to have a north-south orientation right along the reservoir. At the request of council and the request of city staff, we realigned this to an east-west to run along County Road 4 so that, in fact, the majority of the parcel was available either for development or for council use if they chose to. At that time, they were looking, I believe, at acquiring the rest of the parcel. So we did realign the site to, in fact, allow that to occur. Where we are today is that we have acquired the parcel, roughly 12.5 acres. We are still in negotiation over the price, but we have negotiated complete access to the parcel, and we are proceeding with some of our testing, geotechnical testing, as well as some other testing and surveying activities that need to occur. The site plan, as you see it, has a number of facilities, all of which are listed at the bottom. First and foremost, there will be a four-bay fire station that will be constructed on the northwest corner of the site, right on Weld County Road 4. This fire station will, in fact, be the number 3 fire station responding into the city via I-25 in any kind of major event that requires more than the 2 units that are currently assigned here in North Glen. Just to the south of the four-bay fire station, there's a B in a circle, handwritten B. That is the maintenance facility building where we will be providing all of the maintenance for our fire equipment. That will be constructed at the same time that the fire station is constructed. The remainder of the site is the training center site. And as you can see, there is a single-family residence simulation. There's an apartment building simulation, a four-story high-rise simulation building. There's a classroom facility, which is approximately 14,500 square feet, which will also be available for community uses and meeting purposes should residents request it or the city should request it. There is a wildland training simulator that will be available, and given the amount of wildland firefighting that we are currently doing, we and other departments, even though we have no wildland interface directly with by North Metro, we do have several people that are trained and are deployed throughout the summer to assist both in-state and outside the state of Colorado for wildland training. So we believe that that wildland simulator will be a valuable resource for our personnel, both from a safety standpoint and from a training and proficiency standpoint. And then there are some other smaller items, a confined space trench. There is also a trench rescue facility, a running fuel simulator, a screened-in vehicle extrication area. And then there is a driving track, as we have said, and a water facility, both for training purposes. And the driving track is also available for city use as well, for both Public Works and for the police department for training purposes. Then the remainder of the presentation really just gives you some elevations to let you know what the buildings are going to look like. One comment I would make is that the entire site is a clean burn facility. There will be no smoke that lingers in the air for 15 or 20 minutes. We will burn no rubber tires. We will burn no wood, no hay. All of these simulators that are being installed in this site are either propane or natural gas fired, both from a safety perspective and from a clean environmental standpoint. From a safety perspective, they're all controlled so that if someone were to get in trouble during a training exercise, it can immediately be shut down and you don't have to extinguish a fire before you, in fact, go in and try to effect a rescue. From an environmental standpoint, there is no pollution either to the water that would be used for training evolutions or for air pollution. Any smoke that occurs on the site dissipates within 50 feet of the ground. All of the water that we use during training will be recaptured in a retention site and recirculated so that, in fact, we will continue to use and reuse that water until it evaporates. So we believe that that also is an environmentally friendly perspective for the site. And all of the buildings are, in fact, what they call CMU buildings or brick buildings. So you will not see black buildings. You will not see smoke-stained buildings. All of the facilities are, in fact, will remain clean to the outside eye and from an aesthetic standpoint as well. In addition to that, the site is either screened in so that it is in the areas such as the vehicle extrication area where we will have vehicles that we cut apart and that we will train on. Those are screened in so that they are not available or not visible from off-site as well. So we believe that the entire facility is a very well-suited facility for this location, and we believe that it is a facility that both the fire district and the city of Northland will be proud of. And with that, I'll be more than happy to try to answer any questions.
I just have one that occurred to me. Where is the control room for your simulators?
The control room, there is a, it's actually not listed on here, but where you see the classroom office right in the middle at the top, that building on the east end has an outdoor stage, if you will, and the control room is attached to that.
Okay.
In addition to that, each one of the simulators has a control mechanism right on the building so that it can be shut. Actually, it has two, one exterior and one interior, so that it can be shut down interior by the individuals actually involved in training, or it can be shut down outside by a safety officer or a training officer in the event that something occurs. So we actually have three shut-off devices. One that will shut off the entire site so that all of the simulators go down at once. The others are individual to the buildings.
Any other questions?
Are there neighbors in the, since we're kind of sensitive right now to what's kind of stinking in Well County, but I'm kind of concerned about, you know, do the neighbors in that vicinity, are they aware that this is going to get constructed?
There are no neighbors that we're aware of. No.
Oh, okay.
There's no development to the north, and the only development to the south is the city's facilities.
Uh-huh.
There's a railroad track on the east and the retention reservoir on the west. So right now there's no development up there.
I have one. And you may have said this. What's your water source?
The water source is going to be a well.
Okay.
We will have to drill down into the Fox Hills aquifer, which does not require water augmentation. It is not part of the Platte Valley system, so it's not a part of what the farmers are going through right now with augmentation.
Okay.
It'll be approximately 800 feet that we will have to drill down into. But by utilizing and reutilizing water, by capturing it on site and pumping it back through the hydrant systems, we expect that the water usage will be about one-fifth of what normal training centers would utilize if they were using potable water and having it go down the sewer.
Was there ever any consideration about using the water out of Bull Reservoir? It's Seemed like we talked about that a year ago.
We talked about that, but there are some environmental issues with regard to that until the city gets a reuse permit that allows the city to make that water available. There would be nothing we could do with it.
Okay.
At some point down the road, we may talk about that when the city decides what and if they're going to go down that road with reuse water.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Appreciate your time tonight.
Thank you. I'll keep you posted as well. We're looking to move in, hopefully, in about April of 08. And we expect that all three of the individual component pieces will be done, some earlier than others, obviously. But we're looking to actually have the entire site done by April of 08.
That's great.
Okay. Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Next, we have a financial update. On Cornetta.
It's going to take a minute to do this.
That warm-up time.
Yeah, it's going to take a minute.
Got a joke?
All right. Good evening. I'm going to give the financial report for July, which is kind of interesting. And we get to do a look back, and I'm really pleased to say that from a balanced budget perspective, as we're moving into 2007 budgeting, it's good to see that through July we were still working and staying on track with things. Just to first start with the general fund, I'd like to just move on to the next slide and I'll just say what that other slide said on it. You can see our total general fund revenues are just right on track with our projections through July. Which is fantastic in a total number. And we're just slightly ahead compared to last year at the month of July. We do have some movements within some of the major component pieces in there. Our sales tax revenue is also right on track through July and really right on track with prior year as well. The franchise fees does reflect a slight variance from the projected number, but actually it's because we received one of our quarterly payments in August. So that's going to be right back on track again in August, and that's what's resulting in the variance with 2005 as well. So we're actually really right on track with franchise fees. Also, charges for services are just going full speed ahead. I mean, these are our numbers in July, and we'll be real excited to come before you next month with August because we believe that we'll continue on the track that we're on. Most of this is coming from just a bang-up job from our Culture and Rec Center as they're increasing their revenue opportunities. So we're at 10%, about 10% ahead of our projected and 20% ahead of last year at this time. Fines and forfeitures also, just about the same statement. Things just going gangbusters. Primarily the increase, or rather the variance, about 23% over projected. It's mostly related to increased traffic enforcement fines. That's the bulk of where we're seeing the adjustments for them. And then again, of course, well ahead compared to last year. Just with our, so we're right on track with our revenues. General fund expenditures also just about right on track. You'll see that we're just below projected, which is a good thing on the expenditure side, about 7% below our projections and just slightly ahead of 2005 when we compare that. We were pretty close, or rather below projections across the board. We did have a couple areas that were slightly above, but again, nothing really significant at all. So we're just about right on track with our projections, or rather with our actual for our expenditures. It's going on to the water and wastewater fund. Our
total revenues, again, we're just really just slightly ahead of projected, about 5% ahead. So we're looking great with our collections there. And then as well as compared to 2005, about 7% ahead of our 2005 numbers in total. So the debt service revenue, though, you see is the one that is trailing. And, of course, we know that that's really resulting primarily from a decline in our food tax revenues. And so we're going to most likely continue to see that type of trend going for the debt service fund. But in total, the water and wastewater fund revenues are definitely staying on track. The expenditure side, I'd like to just hear on the next two slides, if you could please excuse the totals. They are not totaling, so just ignore those total revenue numbers if you would. But again, on the expenditure side, just as we would like to see, our expenditures are about 10% below projected through today, and compared to last year, we're actually about 10% ahead, but we're definitely staying within our budget parameters on the expenditure side as well. Going to the sanitation fund, again, we can kind of say the same thing. Revenues are looking strong for sanitation in total. We're 13% ahead of projections. A big portion of that is related to the polycart sales, where we actually didn't budget for quite as high of an amount as we're actually realizing as the residents are utilizing that product. And compared to 2005, we're about 10%, 9% ahead compared to our 2005 numbers. Sanitation expenditures, just slightly below projection, so we are staying within our budget parameters. And then, of course, significantly ahead of 2005, but that's primarily related to the increased costs that we have for the vehicle leases, for the new trucks that we're running today. And our investment portfolio, again, prepared well for that month. We had about an average rate of return of 4.5%. Our benchmark set the 3.7%, so we're staying ahead of that. The total earnings of just over $100,000. So any questions?
Any questions on the financial
report? Well, I'd just like to make a comment that the Finance Committee, Rick Lindsay is the chair, but he's not here tonight, so I'll say, and we met and reviewed these a couple weeks ago with Steve Zoet, and we had some more in-depth questions about why certain areas were expenditures were below or above or whatever, and I think Steve responded with the questions that we had, and you all got a copy of that. We looked at overtime and purchase cards review, so I just want to let the public know that we are doing a more in-depth review of those things.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
Thank you very much.
You. Next is the consent agenda. We've got 5 items. And I would move for approval of all of these with a note that the Youth Commission appointments, I believe all of these people have actually been before us at one point to be interviewed, and these are...
Two have, one two has have, not.
Reappointments on people to come back, is that correct?
Right. Daniel was on previously, and Kurt is currently our president on the Youth Commission, and Brittany's brand new. Her brother is on the commission right now.
Okay. So it's been moved to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
And seconded. Please open the vote.
The vote is now open.
Please vote.
And I will now close the vote. And the consent agenda passes unanimously.
Next, we have public hearings, the first of which is CB 1576. Joanna, would you please read the title?
A bill for an ordinance amending section 11-6-13, parent H, of the zoning ordinance to clarify maintenance responsibility in arterial streets, rights of way, adjacent to single-family homes.
I would like to open the public hearing on CB 1576. Anyone who would like to speak either for or against CB 1576? Is there anyone who would like to speak to 1576? Seeing no one come forward, we will close that public hearing and open the public hearing on CB 1577. Would you please read the title?
A bill for an ordinance amending subsection 16-10-5 of the Municipal Code of the City of North Glen
relating to utility usage charges.
Is there anyone who would like to speak either for or against CB 1577? Is there anyone who would like to speak to 1577? Seeing no one come forward, we'll close that public hearing and open the public hearing on CB 1578. Would you please read the title?
A bill for an ordinance amending section 16-7-9 of the North Glen Municipal Code by the repeal and reenactment of subsection A6 and the addition of a new subsection A7 requiring that trash containers be kept hidden from view unless an exemption is granted when such containers are not placed for collection.
Is there anyone who would like to address or speak either for or against CB 1578? Please come forward and state your name for the record, and you've already signed in.
Don Onema. I just have one question. Hidden from public view, a lot of the houses from the street behind the house in the next block, you can see them if they're in the backyard, even if it's a fenced yard. Is that included? Do we have to get a deviation?
We're talking about that, Don, and it's something that the Councilman Miller was trying to point out. And the way it's currently written, it would be a violation. So
yes,
we're going to make sure that doesn't happen. We're also going to make sure, as another example Jim gave us, hidden from public view could just be, you know, throw a tarp over it and you're good to go. So we will take care of those problems if we can save the ordinance, and if not, then not. But Jim and I will work on that together.
Okay,
thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak either for or against CB 1578? Seeing no one come forward, we will close that public hearing and move on the agenda to ordinances second reading. Again, the first of which is CB 1576. Would you please read it again, Jennifer?
A bill for an ordinance amending section 11-6-13, parent H, of the zoning ordinance to clarify maintenance responsibility in arterial streets, rights of way adjacent to single-family homes.
Move for approval.
Second. Moved by Garner, seconded by Parsons. Discussion.
I just want to thank Evelyn Sable once again for bringing this to our attention, and because of her persistence, she lives on 99th and Huron. The result is what you see tonight. So the confusion, I think, is terminated as of tonight.
All right, there's no further discussion. Would you please open the vote on CB 1576?
The vote is now open.
Please vote.
And I will now close the vote. And CB 1576 on second reading passes unanimously.
Next is CB 1577. Would you please read the title?
A bill for an ordinance amending subsection 16-10-5 of the Municipal Code of the City of North Glen relating to utility usage charges.
Move for approval.
Second.
So moved by Pye, seconded by Garner. Discussion? Hearing none, would you please open the vote on 1577?
The vote is now open.
Please vote.
I will now close that vote. And CB 1577 on second reading passes unanimously.
Finally, on second reading, we have ordinance CB 1578. Would you please read the title?
A bill for an ordinance amending section 16-7-9 of the North Glen Municipal Code by the repeal and reenactment of subsection A6 and the addition of a new subsection A7 requiring that trash containers be kept hidden from view unless an exemption is granted when such containers are not placed for collection.
Shockingly, I'd move to table this.
I'll second that.
I never would have guessed that might be coming. It's been moved by Martin and seconded by Klein to table 1578. Is it 288 certain or just to table indefinitely?
Table indefinitely.
Table indefinitely. Any discussion? Hearing none, would you please open the vote to table 1578?
The vote is now open.
Please vote.
And I will now close that vote. And the motion to table 1578 indefinitely passes unanimously.
Yes.
You can go home now. Happy man.
On that enthusiastic note, we will move on to ordinance's first reading. The first of which is CB 1579. Would you please read the title?
A bill for an ordinance repealing and reenacting Article 12 of Chapter 5 of the North Glen Municipal Code relating to the city's enhanced sales tax incentive program.
Move to approve.
Second.
It's been moved by Garner, seconded by Monroe. Discussion? All right. Hearing no discussion. I'm sorry, Susan.
What was the purpose of this? Is this the one that Becky recommended
yeah.
to us?
Uh-huh.
So we're just changing it to comply with. Are there any substantive changes? I mean, you're repealing. What was there before that you were repealing?
I think it was non-existent.
It was non-existent? Oh, okay, because I thought it was.
It's repealing and reenacting 12.
It says repealing and reenacting, so there had to have been something there before, mm-hmm. right?
There was. Right. These were the changes that Becky recommended, but there was an existing ordinance in place.
There's no substantive changes, though?
Yeah. Was it the percentages?
The percentages were already changed at a previous ordinance.
There's no percentages in here.
There is in section 5-12-5.
Page 3.
But that's the same percentage that was recently amended.
So, okay. Yes. All right.
Okay. Any other discussion? Would you please open the vote on CB 1579?
The vote is now open.
Please vote.
And I will now close that vote. And CB 1579 on first reading passes with one no vote from Councilmember Pies.
Next, CB 1581. Would you please read the title?
A bill for an ordinance amending section 9-8-12 of the City of North Glen Municipal Code relating to serving alcohol to underage persons.
I would move to approve 1581.
Second.
Moved by Novak, seconded by Garner. Discussion.
Can you go on? Can you explain a little bit about the purpose?
Sure. And for the public, we had a substantial discussion at our study session last week relating to this. A couple years ago, council enacted an ordinance that held the manager and owner of a liquor establishment criminally liable if any of their servers was caught violating the liquor law, which means that the owner of establishment could be vacationing with his family on the beach in San Diego, one of his servers served, and the guy sitting on the beach is criminally liable for fine and jail time. And after substantial discussion at our study session last week, I thought that I should bring this up to potentially to change that so that those people would no longer be held criminally liable, but we can still hold them civilly liable. And of course, the licensee still has responsibility to the liquor licensing authority with the license. Did I capture that appropriately, Corey?
Yeah, and it was my understanding that there was going to be a second part of this at some future date that would go into more depth on the other ranges of penalties aside from criminal liability for the manager and the licensee.
Exactly, and that will take some time to work that out. We didn't want to try and do something quickly, and when that is drafted, we will also run it. We'll spend time studying it, thinking about the implications, and also running it past our liquor authority as well to get their input before we pass that. So that's just a brief background on this. Any further discussion? All right, would you please open the vote on 1581?
The vote is now open.
Please vote.
And I will now close that vote. And CB 1581 on first reading passes with one no vote from Councilmember Pies.
Okay. Next, we will move on to resolution.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mayor.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was breaking up. Yes, may I note for the record that the public hearings on CB 1579 and 1581 will be held on September 28, 2006, here in City Hall Council Chambers.
Thank you. We're just getting on a roll here. I'm running down the agenda. Next is CR 109. Joanna, would you please read the title?
A resolution authorizing the mayor to enter into a revocable license agreement on behalf of the City of North Glen, Colorado, with Moto Spa of North Glen, LLLP, authorizing the construction of a monument sign in the East 120th Avenue right-of-way.
I move to approve CR 109.
Second.
Moved by Novak, seconded by Garner. Discussion? Hearing,
I'm sorry, do we have anything that shows what the sign's going to look like? I've seen it, but It's enough. Sorry, it's on that. Just our visibility is not too good on this. I'm sorry. I'm saying I can't. Our images are not too clear. I was asking for clarification as to what the picture would look like.
I understand. I can't understand.
Okay.
Talk louder.
Well, yeah, and then get closer. You're soft spoken, unless you don't want to be, and then you can go out. Gates?
I have a question. So this is going to go between the sidewalk and the street. Is that correct?
Is that Terrence? Could you?
Terrence, can you expand a little bit on this?
Terrence Quinn, Community Development. This was basically an oversight on our part. When you approved the plans and the rezoning for the site-specific development plan, the sign was included in that plan, in the design of it and all those things. We did not bring this actual agreement to you, so to make sure that they can build the sign that we approved, we have to do this technically. This is a technicality.
Oh, okay. All right.
Any other questions?
The sample sign says there's a Taco Bell. That's not true, is it?
It's not going to be a Taco Bell, and that was for an example.
Yeah.
We have other interests at the site right now we can't talk about, but there are other interests at the site. So
okay.
Good news there.
Thanks. Thank you. Any other discussion on CR 109? Please open the vote.
The vote is now open.
Please vote.
And I will now close that vote. NCR 109 passes unanimously.
Next is CR 110. Would you please read the title?
A resolution setting the salary of the interim city manager of the city of North Glen, Colorado.
I would move approval of CR 110.
Second.
Moved by Novak, seconded by Garner. Background on this for our public is just that when... And as long as I know, at least in my history on council here, that whenever we've been between city managers and have asked a city employee to step in, there has always been additional compensation for the extra job duties that were not normally part of their job. And 6 years ago, when we had an interim as well, who was the police chief, during that time, from when they were appointed as interim until the new city manager came on board, they were compensated an additional 10% to take care of all those duties. You know, it's one thing if you have a current job and then you're asked to do your job and somebody else's job. Most reasonable people would expect some kind of compensation for that. And these, both 110 and 111, take care of both those. And that's my purpose for sponsoring this ordinance. So other discussion. Jim?
Can we look in the future that we actually draft a resolution that actually sets council accountable to coming up with a salary increase for an interim city manager that within like a couple weeks after they're appointed, so it doesn't sit out there as that possibility for months?
Sure, and in fact, we probably should have done this at the original time of the appointment, but. I honestly can't remember when we did it for the police chief last time, but I think that's a good point. Corey, the appropriate way to do that would be by resolution, perhaps?
Sure.
Okay. Other discussion? Sherry?
I have to agree with what Don Anima said earlier about the 10% being in effect until the new city manager deems it appropriate to change it. I think that we should be the ones in control of that, and I do think that we should change that to say when the new city manager has been effectively transitioned into his position. So I'd make a motion to amend.
I would accept that as a friendly.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
It's fine. I was the second on it, so that's
great. Corey, do you have that language, or can you? That one time?
I'm going to say that.
That's why he gets the big bucks.
That's
he
right.
needs a typewriter.
He's holding out for a 10% allowance increase.
I just want to make sure we have appropriate language so we all know exactly what we're voting on.
And I think what I heard is that until a date to be determined by the city council based on the date when the new city manager is effectively transitioned.
Does everyone understand that?
But I also have a question about that. So are we going to get together and decide when that is?
Pretty much,
okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget that.
No, no kidding.
Heck no, it's his 10%.
We should have Joanna, yeah, make the clerk's office make a note that that will have to come back once the new city manager is on board.
I envision a very long transition.
We don't, so I'm sorry.
Okay, if everyone is clear on that, is there any further discussion? Not, please.
Can I say something?
Now's not the appropriate time. Can you save it till the end? Because there's no public comment at this point.
Mm-hmm. You just changed and no one's had a chance to review in the community.
Right.
Okay.
No, I understand, but
I
this one.
Make a mistake.
Okay. If we make a mistake, you can tell us afterwards.
Yeah, but Laura, you made it.
Yep, you're right. Would you please open the vote on CR 110 as friendly amended?
The vote is now open.
Please vote.
And I will now close that vote, and CR 110, including the friendly amendment, passes unanimously.
Next is CR 111. Would you please read the title?
A resolution retroactively setting the salary of the former interim city manager of the city of North Glen, Colorado.
Move to approve.
Second.
Then moved by Garner, seconded by Parsons. Discussion and comments. Again, just by way of introduction, I think this is consistent with past policy, and it was an oversight that had not been done. Had Jim's suggestion been enforced, we would have done that at that point in time, when we never did. So, other discussion. Sherry?
I'd like to offer something as another friendly amendment. I don't think that the makers would be opposed to this. Earlier today, Steve Zoet sent out some information regarding the exact amount that this lump sum would be, and I think that this information needs to be included in this resolution. So I'd like to attach the document that Steve Zoet sent out earlier, the spreadsheet with the 10% market adjustment, which is the amount of $5,406.50.
Is the
I'll second that.
Do you want to, as a friendly, to attach
that's
the document?
Fine. Yeah.
Okay. So
could I make a motion that we reduce the amount of overtime that she paid herself? We, in the finance committee review, she was paying herself $110 for I don't know what for several times, and I just think that if we're increasing her pay and she's been paying herself overtime, I should think that we should reduce that amount by the amount of overtime she was paying herself.
It's my understanding that it should be on base salary, not overtime.
She did pay herself overtime, though. If you looked at the detail in your finance thing, she was paying herself $110. So I would think that we should reduce that by the amount, because she was paying herself additional money in compensation for I don't know what.
Well, I think if other discussion or comments.
Well, is the 10% increase on base pay, or is it on total gross?
It's on base salary.
So then,
but the professional level people making $110,000 a year do not pay themselves $110 for overtime per pay period or whatever she was paying herself for the overtime for. So I was just suggesting that we reduce that.
Well, I'm wondering if there's anything in human resources law that would prevent us from doing that for this position. I don't want to get ourselves into a legal situation. That's my thought.
Yeah, I'm thinking again. It's Fair Labor Standards Act that you don't get overtime when you're getting paid a salary. And you're in an exempt position.
I think another...
Paula, do you have...
I would need some clarification. I think something else that you remember is that based on her agreement with the former city manager, she was never compensated at the rate that it was agreed upon when she was hired either, and that has gone...
But she was what? She was compensated at $110,000 wasn't enough?
That was not the agreed upon compensation when she was hired. So
that was a different contract. Wasn't that a contract to do something else?
No. According to her offer letter, she had a base salary, and then there were quarterly bonuses that were supposed to be evaluated and built into that. Those were never evaluated and never built in. And this would be 5% just on that base salary, not including the compensation that was originally agreed upon when she was hired. Is that correct, Paula?
Yes. Yes. Let me make sure I've got that right in my head. She was not hired as a contract employee. She was hired as an employee of the city of North Glen. In her offer letter, she was given an annual salary And then a quarterly cash award, if you will. Bonus isn't a word that we like to use at the city. But the 5% that you're referring to on the table is a market increase based on her base salary in line with all other market increases that were given to other city employees. And the quarterly cash award that her offer letter said she was to receive, she received one time, I believe. Two times, maybe. I would have to go back and look.
I want to clarify, because it should not be a market adjustment. It should just be 10% of that base salary. Correct?
That's correct. There's no market adjustment. And maybe this table's confusing and makes sense to payroll, who created it for me. What we did was we went back to the pay period where she started as the acting or interim, if you will. During that time period and the time period that she resigned, market adjustments occurred for all city employees. So what this table is saying is through February 17th to July 7th, there was one base salary. Those remaining two pay periods, there was a 5% market adjustment. So that's just showing why the salary adjusted a little bit here by $218.
Can you explain the overtime to me? I mean, I was reviewing.
You know,
that.
I can't. I would love to, and I'm going to have to pull it in the morning. Okay. I have no knowledge of that. I'm not sure how, as an exempt employee.
It was on their overtime report on the Finance Committee.
Yeah. I was trying to find it here, and I was like.
No, it's not on here. It was on the detail in the overtime report and the financial statement packages you all get every month.
I can't, but I will look at it tomorrow and find out, because that is news to me also. I'm not sure how she could have received overtime. So.
Jim? Entertain tabling this until the next meeting.
Would you say it into the microphone?
Would you entertain tabling this until the next meeting so we can get that information on the overtime?
Sure. Was I the maker? Yes, I would consider tabling it to the next meeting until we have that full information.
Fine.
The information on the overtime?
Do we need a formal motion to vote on that, Corey?
To
table? Our parliamentary?
You have to move.
I would move that we table then CR 111 to September 28th.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Would you please open the vote to table CR 111?
The vote is now open.
Please vote.
And I will now close that vote, and the vote, or the motion to table CR 111 to September 28th passes unanimously.
Okay. Next is CR 112. Would you please read the title?
A resolution setting the salary of the city clerk of the city of North Glen, Colorado.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Garner, seconded by Martin. Discussion. And again, I would like to just start off with an explanation of why. When we did performance appraisals for council employees, which are the city manager, the city clerk, the municipal attorney, and the municipal judge, back in January, one of the things that we agreed to was to do a salary survey and actually set a salary range. This employee is an employee of council, so unlike every other city employee, every other person in the city has never been subject to either a range or market surveys and market adjustments. This really has more to do with it is about the position and not the person in the position. And I'll take the blame for this, we said that we would do this and take care of this by the end of the first quarter, and we did not. Here we are, middle of the third quarter, and it wasn't done, and that's what this is. Based in the rationale behind it, and Paula, if you would like to just explain, sorry to put you on the spot, but I asked our HR department to do the same kind of analysis that they do on every other position to give council that information. And I had also asked that based on, so that would set the range. And then the second question is, what is the appropriate compensation for someone given the tenure? And that's what I had asked HR for. And if you'd like to just clarify that information, it'd be helpful.
Right. So the market survey, as I assume most of you know, we survey six cities. I did the survey just like I conduct it with every other position at the request of Mayor Novak, came up with the range that you see on the memo. In looking back at Diana's tenure in that position, she would have topped out by now, realistically. However, so I could have just said, we'll take her to the top because, boy, she's earned it. But from a business and financially logical perspective, I know that's not reasonable just to give someone a 25% raise. So my compromise was to meet her halfway and get her to step 15, which takes her to roughly $76,000, which is what the resolution states. I can't give a scientific method to my analysis, but step 15 is in the middle. That seems reasonable to me. But since I'm standing here and I've read the resolution, if I could just get clarification too, and maybe this creates more discussion for you, and I apologize, but what you've asked in the resolution is that then Human Resources take over the responsibility of adjusting the city clerk's salary on an annual basis?
My intent was that we would adjust the salary range. The HR would adjust the salary
just keep,
range.
Keep adjusting the range annually, but you will handle range. Any increases.
Correct, because the concern is that we want to make sure that independent of the person who actually holds the position itself needs to have the correct range and be moving appropriately. And that was that's how we got into this problem. It really was a structural problem that when Diana moved from deputy to city clerk, the city clerk did not have a salary range, and when she received the promotion, there was not an adjustment made.
Sure.
So she continued to progress at that point, the deputy's salary range.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's my intent to actually set a range that council can then use in our decisions based on performance appraisals as to what kind of increase for whoever holds that position would be annually.
Yep, that's perfect.
Human
Resources can handle that. I wasn't sure how far you were wanting me to handle this, if I was giving the raise as with any other employee or just setting the range.
Just setting
the range. That clarification
is
perfect.
That is, in fact, what the ordinance.
It is. And it references the position as opposed to the employee.
All right, discussion. I had Sherry, Jim, Gay, Susan.
Don't leave, Paula.
Can I get a copy of the cities that you surveyed? I'd like to see which cities were surveyed.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll send you.
That's going to be my question. Can she just tell us?
You know
right now.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly who I surveyed. Thornton, Broomfield, Westminster, Inglewood, Arvada, and Littleton. And those are the same cities we use for surveying all other positions here at the city.
And to clarify, the rationale for using those cities?
The rationale currently for using those cities is three of them are similar in size, population-wise, and three of them create a lot of competition for us to get applicants in the city. So that is the rationale right now.
Thornton, Broomfield, Arvada, Littleton, Inglewood, and who was the other one?
Westminster. Westminster.
Okay. That's all the questions that I had.
Okay.
I'm too short to reach this thing. Oh, okay, that works. We had talked about this during our performance reviews. Wow, I can hear myself.
So can they now.
and I thought we were going to do something like this, but an overall salary comparison for all of the employees and for all of our employees all at once. So I'm a little leery to do this piecemeal. And my other point is that where is this money going to come from in the budget? We're already having a shortfall with next year's budget. This is definitely not in the city clerk's budget that she already presented. So this is going to be another huge chunk, and I'd like to know where it's going to come from.
Here. The best I can answer that, Councilwoman Pies, is that we're just going to have to assess this as a cost of doing business, I guess, if you will, relative to all other requests of the various departments and factor that into our operating revenues as we project them to be for next year and factor it in as a budgeted cost of doing business.
And actually, as was presented in the financial report, our actual expenditures are 800,000 below projected. So this increase is still, will still keep us below our budgeted numbers total for 2006. And we have to address, and we'll make those choices in 2007. You're right, it does have budget implications.
And I understand that. I kind of consider this, what Patty Campbell came up and said earlier is she made a really good point about the must-do, should-do, and it's basically want and need. And I think that we have more pressing issues. Our streets have not been maintained. We need to catch up on our streets. We have several things that we need to catch up, our water, sewer, pipes, everything. So I'm just not going to support this at this time.
Thank you.
Jim?
I have a question. I believe, didn't she just receive a raise in December of last year?
Based on her performance appraisal, she did get a merit increase. I cannot remember the amount, though, but it was an adjustment for cost of living.
I can't remember either, but I think it, I'm going to, I don't know, 5%?
It wasn't more than 5%.
It wasn't more than 5%, I'm pretty sure. And again, I can look that up, but off the top. I didn't even think to grab that with me tonight.
And that was based on performance. Anything else?
Well, should we consider actually the effective date being the date of the last one, so it's a year apart? This because she had a review, I believe, in June, and then another one, I believe,
in December. No, just in December.
Just December.
We just did it annually.
I think that that year she actually received two. Did you check that?
She could have. We're the ones who give them.
Yeah, we did them.
We do them.
I know. I did a core request back then to pull those.
I think she received a market adjustment, and then her review gave her a raise as well. Can I add one more thing?
Yeah, and then we'll go games.
I think this is something, I guess the other point that I want to make, too, is that this was a citywide concern at the last election that we were overpaying our employees, and based on our budget and our city size, and I think that a lot of people are concerned with that, and I just want to make sure that point is raised, and I think that by giving her a market adjustment now, or giving the position, I'm not going to refer to it as her, there's a performance appraisal review that's going to come up again at the end of the year, so that's going to mean another raise, and so we're just going to be dishing out a lot of money.
Gay?
No, I didn't have anything.
I have a problem with the cities we're serving. I think that artificially inflates the pay for this position. To compare yourselves with Broomfield, Westminster, and Thornton as three of the ones, are much bigger cities and much more complex duties, or the scope of the duties are bigger, and so I feel like that, and I always felt that. I felt that when I was working here, that it's just not right. I think that we're surveying a different group of cities for our city manager candidates, I remember. But anyway, I think that the cities that you're surveying are not really representative or comparable to what the duties are here in North Glen, 33,000 as opposed to Westminster and Thornton, 150 in Broomfield, which is a county also. So I'm going to vote against it because I think it's not a good comparison.
Any other discussion on CR 112? All right, would you please open the vote?
The vote is now open.
Please vote.
I will now close the vote. And CR 112 passes with 3 no votes from Council Members Klein, Council Member Pies, and Council Member Miller.
It's about 8:25. We still have staff reports and some discussion. I would like to take a 10-minute break and reconvene at 9:25. I'd like to reconvene the City Council meeting, and we will move on to... We will now move on to staff reports. We have 3, the first of which is staff report 06-24. Steve, do you want to give us just a brief?
Sure, very brief. This is just requesting council's permission to award a bid for purposes of our final phase of the multi-year arterial fencing improvement project on Washington. This would conclude it from Phillips Drive to Sylvia Drive with a noted amount there with project contingency and some material cost testing, sum of $346,779.75.
Thank you. Is there a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Garner, seconded by Monroe. Any discussion or comments?
I just have a question. That section has that sidewalk that elevates and the fence is down lower. Is that, how is it?
I believe the intent, I don't know if Kurt wishes to make a comment, I believe he's here, but I believe the intent is actually to elevate for consistency among some areas, and I think there's some retaining wall work that's going to have to occur. This is kind of an uneven stretch compared to much of what we've done in the past, so there will be some challenges, but I think the intent is to make it as consistent in elevation as we can.
Okay. And the sidewalk will remain the same with the railing?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, the railing is going to be removed.
Okay.
That would be intended to be removed. Is that correct, Kurt? You wish to make comment?
Nice job.
All right. And I think Council is familiar with what Rosie's referring to. There's a section there that really is a bit of an eyesore, non-functional, and the intent there is to put the money needed into it to remove that and make it a more of a functional sidewalk system.
My question isn't so much about this, but as the upkeep on the ones that are already in there. I was contacted by a citizen that lives on Huron, just south of 120th. Those are one of the first fences that we put in there on the east side of Huron. And they're starting to tilt. The one at her house she showed me, and then I noticed on the other side of the street further down was tilting too. You know, they're starting to come loose in the base. And I don't know if we have a plan or a program to go back. She said she called like a couple months ago, and it's still not fixed, so... Are we maintaining this? Do we have a program?
Well, it is our obligation as a city to maintain that investment. And do you have an address or anything I could?
Is that in like the Huron
crossings?
Heights. Behind the RTD, right? It's the same people with the
wheel.
Yeah, that whole area there. I think it was one of the first ones to be put in, and it's there's several are leaning there, so we need to look at it.
Well, it sounds like it's pretty self. Are evident or obvious, but I'll ask staff to take a look at it. But if you do have specific addresses anywhere, we'd be happy to take a look at it.
I think that whole row there.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Do you have a comment on that, Kurt?
Kurt Carr, Logistics Center Manager. Good evening. We were actually talking about fencing in general, citywide, just a couple of days ago. What we're going to do is put together a framework document for a master plan, try to identify the areas. We've got good fence, areas where we have bad fence, and then come back with council and talk about long-term, how do we address these things? What are some policies in some of these what seem to be repeat gray areas, just so we can get some consistency and have a clear direction to let residents know how we do handle these situations.
Well, I would hope that you're going to get that fixed as soon as possible, not to wait to do a plan and do it 2 years from now, because by then the fence will be flat. I mean, pretty soon it'll be violating the code. I guess it's 3 inches for every foot or something. I don't know.
Okay.
But anyway, I think the longer you wait, the more it's going to cost us.
Yeah, we can check out that address. I don't know how bad it is.
It's not just one address. It's not just one house. It's that whole row there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kirk, can you stay up for just a minute?
Okay, I'm going Gay and then Jim.
I just have
Susan, were you finished?
Yeah, I'm done.
Sorry, Susan. I just have a quick question about the fence that's going down Washington now that has already been done. And if there's some kind of warranty on the work or anything on those fences. I'm just noticing the tops of them are buckling and they're popping up in a couple places. So
we have a two-year warranty. Currently, our projects have a two-year warranty. Some of those phases were done a few years ago. I'll have to look and see if they're still under their two-year warranty or if they were a one-year warranty. But, yeah, we typically have a two-year warranty on a project.
Do you want me to call you with exactly where it is, or can somebody run right out and?
Yeah, we can check it out.
Okay, it's on the west side. So,
okay,
Jim.
Community block grant funds are been used to pay for this. Can they be used to pay for the repairs as well? Like, if that fence has to be replaced, that
there would be warranty, or if the warranty was off
the original fence that's been up for a while.
Yes, if it was in a community development block grant. Area that qualifies. So we would have to check that area to make sure that it does qualify.
Okay. So next year we gave our funds away so we wouldn't have those CGB funds to be able to make those repairs.
Next year not have those funds. Those funds are going to NNDC. 2008 would be the next opportunity.
My point, though, is that it would be having to come out of the general fund someplace else to fix those.
Correct. Correct.
The other part is on this one now, same as before, and this, I know this complaint has been brought up before, is the wood going to be treated on this to help protect it?
Not on this phase, but we are working on looking to do some small a section on possibly the trail project to see how sealant can improve the fences for the long term. We're looking into that.
Currently, none of our fences have the treatment.
Currently, none of them have the treatment.
That's probably why they're warping and stuff. Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion on SR 624? Hearing none, would you please open the vote?
The vote is now open.
Please vote.
I will now close that vote, and staff report 06-24 passes unanimously.
Next is staff report 6-25. Again, Steve, just a brief overview.
Wait, can I just say something?
Sorry.
I swore I clicked no there. I clicked no on that one. You have to change that.
Oh, it is now. It's on the Windows.
I apologize.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Did register. Okay.
I was losing them.
Thanks. Steve, a brief overview of 625.
This staff report, Mayor and Council, is for purposes of requesting award approval of a bid to Quality Paving, Inc. of Henderson, Colorado, for purposes of the trail section improvements along 104th Avenue and internal trail improvements to J.D. Caton Park and Wyco Park.
Move to approve.
Second.
I want to insert something that I think it's appropriate for Council's consideration, and that is that Kurt just indicated to me tonight that we actually did good valuation on this. The estimate did come in a little bit below what staff's intent was or assumption was. And there may be opportunity for us to do some negotiation that may allow within dollar allocations that we have available to do some curbing along 104th Avenue, which was a noted concern. So I wanted to, I guess, seek direction from Council. I see no reason why we wouldn't award this, but perhaps negotiate a price that might be conducive to getting that work done simultaneous.
That'd be great.
Is there any opposition? No. We can get bigger bang
yes,
for our
by
bucks.
God.
Curbs. That's a great idea.
We will look into that. Thank you.
So that was moved by Garner, seconded by Parsons to approve 6-25. Any other discussion or questions?
Sure. Steve, can you tell me for clarification, is this something that was... There was an additional supplemental appropriation done for earlier, a couple of months ago. I see that money was coming out of the general fund, $710,000 is coming out of the general fund. That's from the supplemental appropriation, right?
Kurt, is that...
Yeah, I'll ask Kurt to address that.
For clarification, we created an account for the project and then funds transferred into that account. So that account is a CIP general fund account. The money that we supplemented from the general fund is not part of those funds. I made it clear that supplement, as I had spoken to council earlier, was a budgetary number. We weren't anticipating using that number, and we're not. It is noted. Aquanet, I think you can confirm this, that we made note on that amount of money that it would go back into the fund balance at the end of the year.
Okay, but how much of this is being used? I mean, I'm still not clear on this. It's coming out of the general fund. There was a supplemental appropriation. I know that it was in part for the 104th area in Huron, and then it goes down by in Ward 2 by Wyco Park.
Wyco, correct.
So I just want to be clear on what I'm voting on, because if this is part of the supplemental appropriation, I'm just going to fall back on my original vote, which was no, because of the not budgeting it in advance. So,
what you staff originally anticipated that the bid would come in around about $1,288,000 and some change. The bids came in lower; we're at about $1.1 million. When I brought the staff or the supplemental forward, that was to provide some sort of cushion to that $1,288,000. So I think it was $114,000 and $500 or something like that. It's still sitting in an account. We're not going to use it. So the supplemental, there was several things on that supplemental. There was a supplemental from the general fund, which was unbudgeted dollars. There was a supplemental of $200,000 from Adams County Open Space, which hadn't originally been allocated in the budget. So that wasn't an unanticipated budget item. It was just a budget item that had not been allocated to a project. So there was two supplementals in that supplemental appropriation.
The unbudgeted amount was a pretty substantial amount, wasn't it? It was like
$114,000.
I thought there was a larger amount still in there. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't want to confuse the issue. I think I'll just vote no on it and let the record stand that.
You're not using that money. You're not using unbudgeted money. Well, everything we're using is budgeted money.
And correct me, but I think the supplemental was recognizing those the grants from those two places too. So
from the trust.
Right. So that's part of what that was. So.
Yeah. I'm a visual person, so unless I see it, I think I'm just gonna I'll be safe and I'll vote no.
Okay.
And that's that. Thank you.
Are there questions, discussion, or comments on SR 625?
Just for a clarification, the curb would be an additional change order to the contract we're looking at.
If it's negotiated.
If it's negotiated.
A reasonable price.
And we're anticipating $200,000.
Really?
We don't know, but we're going to.
And that will come back.
That would come back to council, yes.
And actually, the truth of the matter is that's only about half of that stretch because there's curbing already up to, I think, Livingston.
Yes,
so,
you're correct.
You know, it would be from Livingston to the city limit, right?
Right.
I'm guessing that. I think that's what
it is. Make sure the whole thing's curbed. And there, you're right. Some of it is already
right.
curbed. Some of it, there'll be places where we have to put some asphalt in. We didn't really look at it really detailed because we didn't think we'd be able to afford it. Now that the bids came in and we got some good pricing, we're going to take the next step and look at that part of the project and try to get it in there.
All right. Can I get the accounting information that you're talking about?
Yeah, you actually have that. It was a cover memo that was part of the supplemental. I can get that information for you again.
But is it in there? Okay.
It is. All those numbers are broken out.
I'm talking about the actual accounting, the financials.
Oh, the account transfers, and yes, we can provide that.
Great. Thank you.
There's no further discussion. Would you please open the vote on staff report 625?
The vote is now open.
Please vote.
And I will now close that vote, and staff report 06-25 passes with 2 no votes from Councilmember Klein and Councilmember Pies.
Next, we move to staff report 6-26. Again, a brief overview.
This would be for purposes of entering into a contractual agreement with J&T Consulting for purposes of doing some design work associated with the Huron Street improvements, as we've been discussing of late. In an amount of $240,735, and I believe, and Kurt can maybe make comment if it's appropriate, but this is where we're wanting to initiate some actual design work. The cost estimating, as I understand it, that has been presented to council thus far has been in-house, as was the case with the previous, and staff demonstrated their abilities to, I think, be reasonable in their cost estimating. This would create opportunities for us to be presenting to council valuations of services as the design work proceeds, so we understand if we don't have the resources to perhaps do everything as has been discussed and presented to you, we could certainly at least present stages that would maybe best fit the financial availability of the city at that time.
Thank you. Do we have a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Jump. All right. We'll have Garner moving and Martin seconding.
Yeah.
Any discussion or comments on staff report 626?
I just have a question.
Okay.
This is for design for the entire stretch of Huron and in phases, both?
Yes, we're doing a combination. We're going to use in-house resources
right.
as well as out-of-house resources. So there's a combination.
Outsource
and out-house.
You know what? Outhouse sources. Thanks.
Outhouse resources.
On back in the day.
Dave, you want to address
that?
Yeah,
I want to talk to Dave about that.
Yeah, no kidding.
No outhouses on the project, though.
Thanks.
We're combining forces.
Okay.
We're bringing in help, but we don't have the expertise. Mainly the Croak shoreline. And the bid package that we're anticipating. Well, after our conversation last Thursday, our original bid package we were anticipating would have been 104th to 112th. Now I'm kind of having staff relook at that after our conversation last Thursday in regards to phasing. Either way, we're looking at the entire corridor for design and then how we're going to break it down. Some of it will be under this contract. Some of it will be in-house with staff. In the end, we'll have full breakdown bid package.
Thank you.
And it's just the shoreline stabilization. It's not the, you know, what we saw come across the dais last week.
It also includes that type of design as well.
It does.
So it includes looking at alternatives as far as regaining the shoreline. I think the baseline in there that we asked for was the fence, the walk, some basic landscaping and irrigation. Okay. We also presented them that design concept in our negotiations. The last two we went through our evaluation. We brought in two of the consultants for the final selection, and we went over our concepts with them in that. So we're looking at the whole scope. And then as we eliminate unknowns, it's going to start to dial itself in, and then we can have a better understanding of where we're at.
I just want to mention J&T is the consulting firm that did Stanley Lake Dam, so I guess
they're
kind of a
Webster Lake
and Webster Lake, but Stanley Lake is huge. That's a huge project. Yeah. That, I mean, talk about people who know something about holding back water.
Yeah, they've got a really good group of consultants in here. If you look at the proposal, it's kind of it's a conglomeration. There's a lot of good consultants in this group.
Susan, did you?
At the Parks Board meeting on Monday night, we looked at Croak Reservoir, and everybody was testifying that they really wanted to be maintained as a nature area. We had some discussion about, you know, the design that was presented to us last week and all that, and whether that went against with what everybody else was saying about what they wanted that area to be. And so, I don't know if you can tell Kurt, because, you know, I still think that kind of conflicts, what he presented conflicts with what the people were telling us at the Parks Board they want.
Well, I did not understand that to be the case, Susan. My interpretation is their concerns might be with respects to development or proposed development internal to the reservoir. This is shoreline stabilization. So this would have some encroachment in the reservoir out of necessity to push back the sidewalk and do some of those aesthetic improvements we had wished to do. It is not talking about the pods or some other development internal to the reservoir.
Kurt just said that was part of the design that might be considered, though, where it went out a little bit and had seating area, you know, like picnic tables.
Yeah, along Huron.
Along Huron, but not going
not
into the
not going
area.
Into the park. There were, I think, in the community engagement, we presented 5 nodes. And that was just one of the 5, and that's the only node we're really focusing on. We may try on the north and south end to create a nice transition into the natural area, but we understand that the Parks Board and the community feel strongly that internally they want that to have a natural feel, and we're not planning to go anywhere near that.
That would change that, because they don't want it to look like EB Rains. They want it to pretty much stay in a natural state.
Yes,
and
you're correct.
I might, in Chris's, Chris DeMay, one of the members of the Parks Board, had a proposal that it would for a nature area for mm-hmm. Croak, and it did pass. But as far as the Parks Board was concerned, but it did have an exception, and that was the Huron work.
Yeah.
So I mean, he included that as part of the.
We've had several conversations with Chris DeMay just on this project one-on-one about what he was undertaking with that natural area and how it could affect the improvements along Croak, and I think we were under the same understanding that Croak, we understood, is a arterial roadway. It needs to have some interaction there, but you go beyond that, and it should be natural.
Nature.
Okay.
Not natural.
Any other discussion on staff report 626? Hearing none, please open the vote.
The vote is now open.
Please vote.
I will now close that vote, and staff report 06-26 passes unanimously.
Okay, we move on to council rep reports. Michael, we'll start at your end.
I believe that you get to all come to a NURA meeting, and I know that's incredibly exciting for you. So I would say we're looking forward to it. Okay.
Jill?
I just wanted to congratulate the staff and the volunteers and everybody who worked on all of the events last weekend. The All About Art was tremendous both Friday night and Saturday. The Relay for Life was wonderful. It was so well attended and such an example of what North Glen can do. I know several of you went to the run. Just a tremendous amount of effort, and I'd like to congratulate you all on that work. And I'd also like to plug the Classics with a Twist. This Friday we have Central City Opera performers coming to the DL Preston Theater.
Oh.
So, and that's quite a coup for our little town. So I would invite you all to come.
When is that?
I'll expand on that. I'll expand on that.
One more
later.
Thing I forgot.
Later. No, yeah.
We're having, Rosie and I are going to have a ward meeting October 2nd. Location to be determined, hopefully in the next 48 hours.
you know, the Liquor License Authority has been at the meetings recently, so I'm not going to go into too much. much detail with that, dealing with the strict liability for the owners. Leave it at that.
Planning Commission didn't have a meeting last week, so I have nothing. The last meeting was canceled, so I have nothing to report on that.
I have several things. One of us has to.
That's right. Somebody has to do it.
Jim and I
haven't had my turn yet.
Well, I'm going to repeat this time.
I'm sorry, Sherry. I forgot.
Jim and I had our ward meeting on Tuesday, and I think it was well attended. We had between 40 and 50 people show up. There were a lot of concerns that were aired, a lot being street maintenance, and I don't think I included this in the email that was sent to you earlier, Steve, but there were some complaints about the manholes. And throughout the city, they're creating such an uneven area for people driving down the streets, and people want to know when those are going to be fixed. I had somebody bring up the tax exemption that is going to be going into effect, and I wanted to make the finance department aware, and maybe they can apprise me of how this is going to affect us, the property tax exemption for the seniors, and if that's going to affect our revenues. I know we don't get a lot of our revenues from property taxes, but I'd still like to know whether or not this affects us. Somebody else expressed a really strong desire to have our new city manager live in the city of North Glen. And several people concurred with this person when it was brought up, so I am passing this along to the rest of council. Chris DeMay also showed up to our, well, was invited to come to our ward social to talk about the nature area. He's looking at the Fox Run area and would like to designate that area or parts of that area as a nature area, but he's trying to get some unbiased information from and input from the residents that live all along that area. So I really commend him for taking the effort to try and protect our open space areas. The Community Foundation also had a booth at the All About Art festival that was at the marketplace. And if anybody attended, I hope you walked by our chalk art booth, because we had some lovely artists who painted that whole asphalt area. And
65 of them, actually.
Yes.
Was it that many we chose?
Mm-hmm. It was 65. And that's it as far as those updates. I'd like to also remove my name from the school board liaison position. I have not been able to attend any of those meetings, and I don't feel that it's fair to keep my name on that resolution, so I don't know if we need to do that in a vote, but I'll still try and attend where I can. I've increased my hours at work, and I don't have the time to dedicate to that. So rather than be a defunct person, I'd rather take my name off. And the last thing that I wanted to bring up is I heard some rumblings today about the city of Thornton is considering putting in a lake in between their rec center and our Stonehawker property. And so I'd like to get involved in that process. There's going to be the Fox Run neighborhood is going to be affected with that, so I'd like to see if our staff has initiated any discussion, or if City of Thornton has initiated any discussion. And
Sherry, may I provide one of, I haven't had a chance to compile it. A gentleman from the City of Thornton, and forgive me, I can't remember his name, came to the historic preservation on Monday and started showing him drawings and things. They're looking at doing a Webster or E.B. Raines Park type of thing with, well, they came just this afternoon, and Joyce Downing just told me about it, and they took down our fence and drove across the historical property, and she has contacted Steve already, and Jim Erland is going to put up a locked chain and things, so the Historic Preservation Commission is very concerned about it as well. I just haven't had an opportunity to summarize it to get that to council. So, yeah.
Well, and can I get an update from staff, maybe? Is Terrence, do you want to say something? I see you.
Terrence Quinn, Community Development. We did receive a call from Thornton, and the idea is right now they wanted to run following the creek that is down the south side, I believe, of the site. They wanted to run a connection with storm drainage or along the to collect water to feed those lakes in the long run. And I actually warned them that this is a historic area and that they're going to have to, consider that in the long run. The plan didn't see too invasive at this point, but they promised they would bring back more information. But Kurt and I sat down with them and kind of explained that there were some other considerations that they should think about, because a lot of people don't realize, but the Stonehocker property, it's a very big historic area there, and they weren't aware of that. So we have had some contact with them. They're just trying to get some water from one end to the other. And so we want to be very careful on how that's done, because we don't want to threaten the historic designation. And if they wreck it, that can do that.
There's wetland areas.
That's right.
And that conversation on Monday was taped. And Joyce is going to provide a tape to Steve of that meeting, the initial discussion between the historic preservation, because they raised a lot of those concerns. They were talking about an 18-inch pipe buried 15 feet deep.
If we have any more meetings, or if you do a joint meeting with City of Thornton, would you let me know so that I can attend, so that I can be informed for
residents
that live in my area?
It will be done.
You reminded me. I actually meant to bring this up, too, but I think you all got a copy of the letter of invitation from the City of Thornton to meet with their council. Originally, they proposed it for one of our council nights. They have, not realizing we meet Thursday nights, and we're not going to miss it to meet with them, but they have offered the date of October 11th, which is a Wednesday. They meet Tuesdays, we meet Thursday. That's a good compromise. So if you would all check your calendars and get back to Susan. We've done this periodically in a past meeting with other councils. It's been productive, and this is a good opportunity to address our concerns right with their policymakers.
I can say I've already scheduled a ward meeting for October 11th jointly with Ward 1 for that night at Holstrom Elementary. So I would think there are probably four of us that are going to be going to that instead.
I'd like to be in attendance of that as well.
That's fine. Yeah, let's see. Perhaps look at the 18th or the 25th, too, and get back with Susan on your availability. I think it's important we meet with her. I think there's a number of issues that would be good to discuss council to council. So we'll make a note that that is not a good night, and we'll try and find another one. So. And the other thing that I know you're going to bring this up.
No, go ahead.
Just to remind, and Sherry and I were talking about this earlier, that the Taste of the Chamber is coming up on October 4th, which is a Wednesday. And this is kind of the end-all, beat-all place to be seen and see everybody event in the North Metro area. It's attended by hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of people. And it's a really great opportunity to not only network, but show appreciation. We've got several of our Northland restaurants that will be participating, and it would be good to go and thank them. But if you're interested in going, please let Susan know when she can register all of us. I think it would be it is a great opportunity to network with a number of business people from the areas.
And the food is pretty good.
And the
wonderful.
Food is excellent.
We should walk there.
I'm sorry, thanks for
yes.
walk there. And walk
Susan
there.
Said we should walk down there if we were going to do this.
Yeah, you have to.
Walk all the food
walk
off.
Walk home.
Do I need to make a motion to take my name off of that resolution appointing me as a co-liaison for the school board?
Since you're appointed that way, that'd probably be the cleanest is to do it by motion.
Well, I'd like to make a motion to remove my name from the school board liaison position.
Seconded by Jim. Is there any discussion? Is anyone, Gay, are you?
I'm still going.
Okay.
Yes.
Terrific. If you please open the vote to remove Sherry Pies from the resolution appointing her to the school board liaison.
The vote is now open.
Please vote.
What if we vote no? What
are you going to
do?
It'll be a default
number. She'll still not attend.
Has everyone voted?
I voted.
Didn't I?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
All right. We'll now close the vote, and the motion to remove Councilmember Pies' name as the school board liaison passes unanimously.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay? I have just a few things. I think I'm going to start with the oldest thing that I did, and I forgot to share it all with you. And I had the pleasure of going to the empty naked juice warehouse and watch our and participate and watch and photograph our police officers in training using the simmunition equipment that was purchased for them through the Vail board. It only brought home to me these guys putting their lives on the line, because it's pretty scary, because those are like real weapons that they're shooting there for the officers. And the thing that was most important to me about it was the officers came up to me that I talked to afterward, and they said it's the most realistic training they've ever had, short of using live rounds. So it's really advantageous for them. And I would encourage all of you, if you can find the time and make the time in your schedules, to go participate in one of their training exercises. They're pretty darned enlightening.
Wayne, can you explain how that feels to get hit by those?
All my bruises are gone.
Yeah, they leave very big marks.
I'll take his word for it.
Yeah. It's... But as the officers put it, it's much easier to have a bruise than it is to have a bullet hole in you. So that was pretty apropos when they said that to me. I had the pleasure of, not participating, but cheering on those who walked and ran in the Paint the Town 5K run, the very first one ever that was done with Citizens Police Academy Alumni Association of North Glen in conjunction with the North Glen Community Foundation. We had 100 participants in the walk-run for our very first year, and we actually did make money. So,
and we actually have a winner.
And we actually have a medal winner for one of our walkers.
On council.
By default, I think I was
there. You're not supposed to say that.
Oh, I won third place.
She got a bronze age group. In her age group. Congratulations.
That's oldest walker without a walker, right?
actually, I have to share with you that we had a 74-year-old racer and a 78-year-old racer.
Spectacular.
Running. Yeah.
They were
not
both
walking, running.
And one of them was a CPAN member, so it was pretty darn amazing. I had the pleasure of going to and participating in the employee appreciation luncheon yesterday. That was very nicely done. It was absolutely positively beautiful day, and it was great to see all of you out there. So the Youth Commission will be attending the Youth Retreat Leadership Retreat on October 20th and 21st, and I will be attending that with them as chaperone. And on tomorrow night, I will be attending a Black Captains of Quam Drive chili dinner. Through invitation, so. And that's all.
Rosie.
I just want to remind council, we have a neighbor-to-neighbor yard cleanup Saturday morning on Bruce in Ward 4. And, the more people we can get, the less time it takes. And so that's scheduled for Saturday morning, I think 8 o'clock, I think. And you can volunteer with Kathy Coward, or probably just show up is just fine, too. I went to the 9/11 dedication, the North Metro Fire District 9/11 Memorial in Broomfield, and it's in their Community Civic Center area next to the library in Amphitheater, and really is quite a spectacular location. It's... And it's a very large memorial, and it's very impressive and quite beautiful. And the dedication itself was very moving and was done very well. I also was at the employee appreciation luncheon yesterday, and it was nice to see the two pavilions next to the lake just full and everybody having a really nice time. So that was a great event. Tuesday night last week, I taught a class for NNDC on turf management and had a really good time doing that. I'm being a master gardener, they get me for free. So, and then September 1st, the city invited Mike Sawyer to come and talk to the city planner and to the city manager and myself as the liaison, and Jim Miller came. And we had a really, really good discussion about what might be available in the city of North Glen as far as parcels, in the hopes that they can negotiate something either with private owners or, the only one that concerns, is of any concern to us, would be Winburn, and we'd have to make that decision as a council. So there are three sites that Mike Sawyer will be looking at. two of them, like I said, are privately owned, and one of them is ours. As far as the seniors are concerned, they have a wonderful event coming up that, I'm sorry Marion Kimsey isn't still here because it's another diversity event, and it's an SCFD grant that's in its 10th year. North Glen has participated for the 10th year in a row, along with four other cities, Thornton, Commerce City, and Brighton, three other cities, rather. And it's a cultural week, and each city has a different culture, and they do expand on each culture's art and music and language, and for North Glen this year it's Italian, and it's going to just a couple of the events. It starts the week of September 25th, and just a couple of the events. On the 28th, at 11 o'clock in the morning, as Councilman Parsons mentioned, Opera Colorado is going to be at D.L. Parsons Theater, and that's a free event. And is all part of the Italian thing. And then on the 29th, Cinzetti's is having a catered lunch at the Senior Center, and that's a pay. You need to pay for that, but they're going to have speakers all week long talking about Italian art and food and travel and language, and I just think it's great. Seniors just do so much. It'd be a great event for the whole city. I was talking to Kate Fisher today. It's concentrated at the Senior Center, but it sounds like it's going to be something fun for the whole city. That's it.
Susan? I think, as I already mentioned, we are going to have a ward meeting on October 11th at 6:30 at night at Holstrom Elementary in the cafeteria. It's going to be a joint one with Ward 1 for the people that live east of or west of the Washington because they're impacted by what's going on at Holstrom. Rob Weber is going to come and talk about that, and then we'll have an open discussion. And then the Northland Arts and Humanities Foundation had their annual retreat last weekend at the Ramada from 8 to 3, but I was at the Relay for Life and at the All About Art, which was a nice event, and it's partly sponsored by the Northland Arts and Humanities Foundation. The Parks Board on Monday night met, and as I mentioned, they did talk about Croak. I think Chris DeMay is still working on his nature area, things that you'll be seeing eventually to vote on what for the Stonehopper Park area and for Croak. We also had a presentation by Jim Miller on the library and possibly different sites for the library in Winburn Park. The board made a resolution, or they passed a motion, I guess, to recommending, instead of making a decision on any particular site, that the city form a task force like they did for the TOD task force to study the potential sites and make a recommendation. So they passed that on to it. I don't know if what will happen with that, but anyway, I'm passing it on that they did do that. And I guess that's all I have.
John, anything from clerk's office?
Nothing tonight, Mayor.
Steve?
Just a reminder to, I guess, all members of council except Councilman Martin, that there is no study session.
We have a key in the room, though, right? You can sit here and...
I've got internet.
5 hours.
Just a reminder to council, though, it's obviously a little ways off and not so noted, but October 5th is the next study session. That is one agenda item that evening. That is budget review, so we'd certainly request everyone's attendance if at all possible that evening. And this may require a little bit of clarification, but Kirk Kohler just did pass me a note here indicating, and I'm not sure, Sherry, if there were specific locations that individuals had concern with respect to the manholes, but with respect to the pending overlay program, will of course hit those streets, and I don't know if Kurt wants to identify the exact areas, but obviously as we have street improvement efforts made is when we certainly address those and can look at other opportunities in the event it obviously poses any kind of a safety hazard or anything along those lines. Excuse me.
I think there were areas along 105th, and do you remember the other areas? I think there were two areas that were specifically mentioned.
No, I just remember the area 105th, and that's been a problem before, and I know that it deals more with the street overlays.
I was assuming you're talking about manholes that have been adjusted in the last few weeks that are raised uneven with pavement now. Is that the...
I'm sure that'll be a complaint.
Well, There's several areas around the city where when we go and we do the overlay, we actually elevate the finished elevation of the pavement. And so we go through and we raise the manholes and the valve boxes on the water line. So we've done that for the last 3 to 4 weeks. And there's areas where we have it coned off and it is raised, or there are some areas where there's been asphalt placed to make it drivable. But the week of September 8th, we will be completing the overlay. And then those areas will be to grade. And I was assuming that's what the complaints were the...
Let me get back with the residents that brought it up, because I think there were several things. And there were other areas, too, that they were talking about where the pavement even is uneven from the curb.
Okay.
So there's several things, but let me get back to you, and I'll send you an email.
Yeah, if you can let me know the specific areas, I can give you a follow-up on how we're addressing those.
Yeah.
I know okay. It's definitely the ones where the overlay has been done and it actually drops down real far, so when you go and you're going to hit a hole where the manhole cover isn't up.
Okay.
I've talked to one of the gentlemen before. Actually, former Councilman Goodspeed had actually brought the issue up last year.
So okay.
It's not just necessarily new work.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. Corey?
That's it for me.
Oh, so I'm sorry. Do you have
no, that was it for me. Thank you.
Just have one item, and that is at the study session, there was some discussion about what to do about the pending cases related to the criminal liability for managers and owners, and there was some discussion about at least the possibility of direction tonight. There's really two levels of cases right now. There are the three cases that are currently there's been a motion filed with the Supreme Court to allow additional time to file a petition for review in the Supreme Court. So that's the first level. Those are the ones in which the Adams County District Court has already reviewed the case, found the ordinance valid, and the licensees have indicated a desire to petition for the validity of the ordinance that, at least on first reading tonight, you are considering eliminating and approved eliminating. The second tier are those cases that haven't even gone to municipal court yet based on the most recent compliance check. And there are several of those that the prosecutor has continued pending the review of this issue. And I didn't know if you were prepared to give direction on those discrete cases tonight or not.
I'd be happy to make a motion to see what happens if you could help me with the language of this. That would be to give direction to dismiss the criminal charges against the owners and managers of the establishments that were in noncompliance.
Unless they were directly participating.
Right, unless they were the persons who violated.
Right.
I would make that motion.
Second.
Seconded by Martin. Is there any discussion, Sherry?
I don't have a problem with not holding them criminally responsible, but I think that they should still be held responsible. And is there a way to still impose the fine but not hold them criminally responsible?
Under the current ordinance, it's a criminal violation as it relates to the managers and the registered managers and the owners. One of the things that was discussed at the study session is the idea of a penalty that is civil in nature. But under the current ordinance, that's not an option. So that's one of the items on the menu that we're going to be presenting to council as a possibility for the revised ordinance.
Okay. Because I don't have a problem with doing that. I just want to make sure that there is still a fine.
And they will still be subject to the administrative, in addition to the criminal proceeding for the person that actually sold, the licensee will still be subject to the administrative proceedings in front of the liquor authority.
Okay. Jim?
You know, I voted today for that to go forward for a public hearing. I'm not entirely decided that I'm going to vote to make the changes yet. Still trying to work that out. My concern is right now of us making a decision to have those dropped. We have a current ordinance that's valid. It's actually been held up in district court. The public hasn't had a chance to be able to come forward and say that they'd like to see it go away as well. So I would not entertain that motion right now.
Other discussion on the motion? Okay. Here,
I just have a question to ask of Corey, and then I don't
okay.
have a problem listening. Corey, so that means that we've got a group that have gone through and they've been charged and found in district court and all that, right? And now we have a group that have not hit court. So if we dismiss it, nothing's going to happen to them at all, except the administrative part, right?
As it relates to the registered managers and the owners, that's true. But this doesn't affect the people, again, that actually sold.
Okay.
What's the time frame on this? Do you have to move forward with it quickly, or can we wait until... How long is it continuing?
As to the cases that have not yet been heard in the municipal court, there's really no time frame. However, as to the cases that are being... are currently subject to a continuance for petition for review. At some point, the Supreme Court is going to be less considerate of continuing to extend the deadline in which you can file. There's already been one. So I can't, for example, if they filed an additional motion to continue, there's no guarantee that the Supreme Court would grant it.
And I believe that date is bumping up. We discussed this at the study session you were able to attend. So, but I believe that attorney is here. Would you like to make a comment on that?
On the dates.
So there's a little bit of a time. There's some concern.
Good evening. Joe Ramirez, representing Steak and Ale, doing business as Bennigan's here in Northland. And that's the issue, I think, that we try to bring up at the study session last week. The current deadline to file our petition for writ of certiorari to the Supreme Court is next, the 22nd. We have scaled back in the work that we've been doing for Bennigan's, but we've still been working. And, you know, I was telling the manager that it's they're spending roughly $2,000 a day, and we will gear up if we don't get a dismissal today, or at least authority Hoffman to dismiss the charges, and it's going to cost them a ton of money going forward. And if it's ultimately decided here that you guys are going to withdraw this statute and not pursue, then that really is unfair to not only Bennigan's but also the other restaurants that are participating in this potential appeal. So we do have a deadline. To address Councilman Pais's concern, on at least with the cases that are currently pending, that are about to go to the Supreme Court or in this writ, the Liquor Authority has already levied fines on all of those restaurants. They paid their fines. They've served their suspensions. So they have been, at least on the administrative side, been brought to justice. But that's our position. If there's any way that we can have the City Council reach a decision today, it would be much appreciated, at least by Bennigan's, and I know that the other three restaurants are in the same boat as well.
Any other questions or discussion? Okay. Would you please open the vote? And Corey, could you just make sure that we all really understand what we're voting on? You're much more articulate in this than I am. So.
If it is approved, we would stipulate with the parties in the Supreme Court to dismiss the pending case, and then it would come back to basically the municipal court and we would dismiss it there. And as to the existing cases that have not yet come to the municipal court, we would direct the prosecuting attorney there to dismiss them as well.
Please open the vote.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
So nobody will have a criminal record if we do this methodology. Is that correct?
No one of the cases that's currently pending. There have been some
managers
cases.
And owners, though.
Correct. But there have been cases that have become final in which that's happened.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Did you have enough?
I just want to make sure the way that Joanna has this written is the right way.
The motion to dismiss criminal charges against the owners and managers unless they were directly related to the liquor violations.
Unless I would say they directly participated in as opposed to related.
Okay, so we'll make that
in other change. Words, actually served or were directly participating in the service to the minor.
The vote is now open. And we'll correct the wording on the website after the meeting.
Okay. Please vote, everybody.
Now we'll close that vote. And the motion, as stated by City Attorney Hoffman, passes with one no vote from Councilmember Miller.
Okay, thank you. Anything else from your office?
No.
Okay. We will move on the agenda then to discussion items.
Your Honor, this is a PowerPoint presentation. It's probably going to take a couple of minutes, as you saw earlier. If Council wishes a very brief recess while we get this set, defer to you.
Okay. Just go on to the next.
We'll take 5 minutes. Okay. He'll come in.
Fine.
Let's get started and reconvene the meeting. Next on the agenda are discussion items, the first of which is the utility billing cycle, trying to close the gap. Welcome.
Good evening. I'm Debbie Staub, the Revenue Supervisor. And this evening I was asked to come and discuss a few policies in utility billing that have come up for discussion over the past few months. I have separated this presentation into three portions because it is rather lengthy. And so we can, I can make recommendations and then we can discuss those things in three different sections. But I want to start, first of all, with some history. Our meter read cycles have historically been 29 to 33 days. The last historic point that I have is in 1994 when we instituted our current utility billing schedule and system. The median read then would be 31 days. In 2003 is when we first started the three-tiered billing structure. And at that time, we were really aggressive and had very narrow tiers for this billing. The third tier actually began at 12,000 gallons. At that time, we were asked in utility billing to try to shorten that read cycle from the 29 to 33 days to 28 to 30 days. That then lowered the median range down to 29 days. This is when the gap between the read cycles and the billing dates started to widen. In 2004, then, we also began replacing all of our residential meters. And that was a three-year program. So in June of 2006, we finally finished that particular program. But in 2005, what we realized was that that gap was occurring between the read dates and the billing dates. So in the interim period, we started reading the 28 to 30-day period. And you'll see the read schedules here as I go on into the calendars. I put this slide in because staffing is a very integral part of this. Prior to August of 2004, we had four meter read staff. In August of 2004, that was reduced to one full-time staff person, and we added a part-time temporary position to try to get us through the automated meter reading program. All of our processes build on each other, and so the meter read schedule we were using helped with the meter tech duties in that there was some real consistency there. These are the duties that the meter tech currently has. And prior to August 2004, all of these duties were handled by four full-time positions. We have seen an increase in the final notice tag number. Most recently, we've been hanging 170 to 190 tags a week. When they're hanging these tags, if we ask for help from the utilities department, and they do assist us on many occasions, because they're not as familiar with the routes, it can take 6 hours to hang 50 tags. So you can see this is quite a bit of our weekly schedule is the hanging of these particular tags. We also have the disconnection and reconnection of service every Tuesday. And we've seen an increase in those numbers also. And we can have as many as 40 disconnects and reconnects in one day. So the first area that I want to discuss is how do we close the gap between the reads and the billing dates? I've given you three options. The first option is just go ahead and bill 2 months' consumption on one bill. This would make for higher bills, obviously. And it would also affect the aging of the accounts, which would mean residents would be thrown into that delinquent status faster, and also then that would progress to the shutoff status at a faster rate. Option B is to increase the read cycle window by a couple days. We would have to avoid the May through October period because that's the irrigation months. And we would see a significant reduction in the gap in maybe 36 to 48 months. And also, increasing those reed cycles during the winter months would also give the residents a perception that we've falsely increased their sewer averages, which we want to avoid. Option C. This is maybe difficult to follow from these particular bullets, but I have a calendar here in the next slide. What I'm proposing we would do is adjust the billing dates 4 times next year. This would consistently bill every cycle every 4 weeks. Their due dates would then consistently remain 23 days after the billing date. And this would amount then to 13 billings in the year of 2007, with the 13th billing occurring in December. This would be for water only on that 13th billing. If you look at the citywide average of 5,000 gallons for the winter right now, that means the average water bill for December would be $15.65, which would be a significantly less impact on the resident. And then by November, we would be back to our historical schedule of cycle one always being billed the first week of every month, cycle two the second week. At that point, we would have reduced that gap by 4 weeks, leaving us about a 2-week gap. And this is what that billing cycle adjustment would look like. And I've only highlighted cycle one just for example purposes. So for the gap problem, my recommendation is to adjust the billing cycles 4 times in 2007, shortening the gap between read and billing dates by 4 weeks. And then that would mean December 2007 statements would be water consumption only, most likely all in the first tier, the lowest tier.
So that's C, correct?
That's C.
Are there questions at this point or comments?
Sure. Can I just make a motion that we accept the recommendation for C and
Okay. Motion to accept staff recommendation C, which is to adjust the billing cycle 4 times, shortening the gap, having 13 billings, the last of which would only contain water consumption.
Correct.
Is there a second?
Second.
By Parsons.
Arm wrestle her. Would
you no, no, no.
Any other discussion or comments? I think the key would just be making sure that people understand we have quite a bit of time to do that well, and I think that makes a lot of sense. Could you please open the vote on the motion to accept recommendation C?
The vote is now open.
Please vote.
And I will now close that vote, and the motion to accept staff recommendation C for the utility billing cycles passes unanimously.
You have more?
I have more.
Lots.
Lots
and
more.
I thought we were
going
to get done with the 6 out of the 21. Yeah.
How did we get here? This is going to deal with the meter read schedule. As I mentioned before, in 2003, we were asked to try to keep the meter reads to 30 days and under. Unfortunately, that's a false goal. It's not realistic. Because our median read is 31 days. And so that's what happened in widening that gap. And so I did some research and made some phone calls and asked, and the industry standard is the 28 to 33-day range or the 29 to 33-day range. We are currently on a read schedule of the 29 to 33-day range. Having this little window gives us a cushion. It allows us for flexibility in our scheduling with the meter tech duties and also works around weekends and that sort of thing. We can use either the every 30 one-day method or use the same day of each month method. And I stuck this in just to show you how we got so far behind. When we read every 30 days, if you count the little stars, that ends up being every 4 weeks. We ended up with 13 reads in the year. So all of those reads were basically falsely low, because that 13th read should have been incorporated through the prior months. And so we went to this read the same week every month just to get through the transition period with the meter change out and all. And we've had several months where we did actually bill for 35 days. The problem month was this last May when it was so hot and dry and so many people used a lot more water than we anticipated. May typically is more wet, one of our wettest spring months. So this is what it would look like if we chose to read the same day of each month. You can see we still have a variation between 28 and 31 days, depending on how that eighth of the month falls. And this is how it looks if we read every 31 days, and we still have that window. My recommendation is to continue with the historical 29 to 33-day window for the read cycles. We can use the same day of the month, or we can use every 31 days. If you'd like to stipulate, I'd be open to that.
I just have, I guess I have to look back. Are there any of those meter days, I guess none of them would fall on a weekend, or when staff normally isn't there?
Well, they
same day or every 31, correct? The way you've got it outlined there.
Right. And that's why there's a variation, because if you look in April, you see it's 32 days. That 31th day was actually on a Sunday, so we had to move it to Monday.
Okay. And on the same day every month,
we have the same thing, and that's why
so
there's the range.
Is it realistic that all the homes on this one cycle could be read on the same day?
It is now.
With the meters?
We have finished our residential automated meter reading program, and yes, it is realistic. The window allows for problems, whether with the system. Weather can still be a problem. The equipment will work, but if the roads are impassable, then we still have delays. But it, that window gives us that little cushion. And I avoid scheduling every 33rd day because I leave that cushion, you know, to allow for those things that are unexpected.
Does that really cut down on your rereads, though?
Well, yes.
Because of the automated reads?
That does. And the other thing, that when we went to reading the same week of every month, that gave us two reads before we billed the first read. And that was very helpful during the transition period, because we could compare the two reads, and we eliminated 80% of our rereads. And with the short staff, that really helped with the time there.
What's council's pleasure?
Sure. What's the current policy?
Current
is it what you just stated,
29 to 33-day window, with no stipulation as to every 31 days or every same day of every month.
I don't see the need to change that then. But I would ask that if there is a problem and you do foresee something of us getting behind, that we be notified in advance. That way we can be prepared for the phone calls that we've been getting.
Sure.
At least if we have a blizzard, we'll know why it didn't get rain.
All right. So,
but even with a blizzard, usually the second day we're able to get out, and if we're still within that window, then there'd be no problem.
So is there any objection to leaving it as it is? So we would not need a motion then for the 29 to 33 days.
Is there any reason why that you see why we should make it so that we just do it on the same day or every 31 days?
No, I just wanted to give you options.
Okay, just making sure.
Okay, I told you all this to tell you this. I have been asked to look at those customers that were billed over 30 days, particularly in the month of May of this year because of the high reads and the high billing. And what I'd like you to consider is that the real median number of days is 31, but our window now is 33. And so there are a number of reasons why people would be over the 33-day window. The calendar was at 35 days this year. There are a few of the customers that had their meters replaced, and so we used that last read on the old meter, and so that added a few days rather than trying to hand calculate all of those reads, and that opens us up to all the more errors and that sort of thing. And like I said, we didn't anticipate May being so dry and hot and this being a problem. So I have calculated the adjustments that you requested, and this is pretty small print, but we have calculated them in 12-month periods starting in June 2003 because that's the beginning of the three-tier structure on a 30-day period and greater than 33-day period. And you can see down at the bottom for that 12 months from June 2003 to May 2004, we would have over 8,000 accounts fall into that category with a possible adjustment of over $10,000. If we look at just those accounts that are outside the window, we're looking at 334 accounts and an adjustment of just under $700. And these are round figures. As we go and start to apply the adjustments, we will have to find those that have already received adjustments and for whatever reason are eliminated. This is the period of June 2004 through May 2005. The number of accounts over 30 days is 703, with an adjustment of almost $1,900. As compared to those over 33 days, it would be 36 accounts and an adjustment of about $78. And a very similar scenario here with June through May 2006. Now, the May reads showed up on our July billing, and this is where the largest impact is. If we go with the number of accounts of over 30 days, we'd be looking at around a $14,000 adjustment as compared to a little less than $7,000 if we consider the window. So here are our total adjustments for those three-year periods. So I would be remiss if I didn't point out that the 30-day adjustment is really unrealistic, and it would be a precedent that we would not be able to keep, especially with the window we just accepted for the read dates. And I'd like to point out that Aquanetta did some preliminary calculations when I was on vacation, and we did use the exact same formula that she had used. I just adjusted it for the 33-day periods. So my recommendation here is to determine adjustments for any extended billing cycle over 33 days using the averaging method, comparing longer and shortened read cycles and daily averages, as has been our practice. And I'd just like to add to that, excuse me. I've looked at a number of customers' accounts, and a lot of them in the 35 and over day period. The next month had 27 to 29 day periods and actually used more water in the shorter period than they did in the 35 day period.
Discussion and question is Sherry.
Well, I don't want to drag this out. I just want to say that my perception is that we have already established a 29 to 33 days. I wouldn't expect that we'd go beyond 33 days, and I wouldn't expect that we would use the 30-day. My wanting to see people made whole again is based on that 33 days, not on 30 days. So if that gives you any direction or any help. The bottom line is I just want people to get their money back. They were under the assumption that they would not be billed for more than 33 days, and they were, so let's make them whole for what we went over beyond that.
Okay.
Do you want to make a motion? I'd like to make a motion that we accept the recommendations of adjusting based on the 33-day billing cycle.
Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Parsons. Any discussion?
Question?
Yes.
That's then the recommendation for the 7,920. Is that my understanding?
That's an estimated figure at this point. We still need to look at each individual account.
Okay.
Sure. I actually have one other question. Now, is this taking into account the people that were kicked into Tier 2 also?
This was just Tier 3.
Because I'd like to look at Tier 2. I mean, that affected people as well. So if we're going to do this, I think we should do it all the way and adjust people for Tier 2 as well.
Okay.
So they were bumped up because of that. Two extra days. Mm-hmm. All right, any other discussion? Okay, would you please vote on the motion to make adjustments according to the 33-day schedule?
The vote is now open.
Okay, please vote.
And I'll close that vote. And the motion, as stated by Mayor Novak, passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Do we need a motion for the chair's product? Are you asking the staff to go back again?
Yeah, I don't think we need a motion to adjust the Tier 2, but other than just to make appropriate 33 adjustments on a 33-day cycle.
Yeah, the motion wasn't tier-specific, nor was it dollar-specific, so I think it can cover all the tiers.
And I don't think we ever made a motion to begin with, did we?
Not to adjust
on the tiers. So whatever adjustments are necessary to comply with that 33-day read.
Okay.
Thank you. And thank you for all that research. I know it took a great deal of time. Next, Mesa School District surplus properties.
This is going to be quick, Council. I brought this forward to you based on some staff discussions I had, and I actually had discussions with Corey Hoffman as well. And I defer to him to, you know, take a legal interpretation of this. But the concern is, as I think Council is well aware, Northeast Middle School has been closed by the district for a period of time. There has been several retrofitted uses of that facility that, from a building inspection standpoint, our concerns were, where is the line drawn between the inability of the building inspection staff to go in and assess any physical improvements, changes to a school that, from our point of view, is no longer governed by the state from the sense that is no longer used for public education. And in looking at the current uses as we understand them in discussion with the school district, there are now 9 different groups making use of Northeast Middle School. And to the best of our knowledge, there has been some adjustments to the internal structure facilities that leads us to concern in the event that there would be some type of public injury as a result of lack of inspection on those services, does the city have liability? And I really want to defer to Corey on that, but it is our understanding that we may not well have any kind of liability associated with it. I think even beyond that, is there the concern that we should, enforce my understanding of our right and ability to go in there if it's our desire to do so for purposes of public safety and inspection?
Corey, you want to comment?
Sure. The statute is based on locating and constructing schools. It is an exemption for zoning, planning, and building, in large part, for locating and building schools. The state law is, quite frankly, silent on what happens when those school sites are no longer being used as schools. But it appears that the basis for the exemption is gone. Now, in terms of liability, again, I don't think that's the issue to the city because, again, with the ambiguity in the statute, I don't think the city would be remiss from a legal perspective in not insisting on an interpretation of the statute to allow it to go in. So I think in large part it's a decision in terms of how you want to approach it. I do think the city has the ability to go in because it's not being used for a school. And so none of the bases for the exemption apply anymore.
Comments?
Well, I have a question, and I guess in general comments. If they're making changes to the school, they're still required to get building permits, right?
No.
No.
They're exempt.
Anybody that's making any changes to, well, I guess maybe that's what I'm not clear.
There is a state statute that it's my understanding that the schools have wanted to not look at changing, and quite frankly, municipalities in general haven't wanted to change because it's sort of a trade-off. That's the benefit the schools get, because otherwise the idea is that for zoning and building and planning, people don't always want schools as neighbors. At the same time, you'll notice that when there's all these recent legislation on impact fees, schools weren't a part of that either. And so this has been sort of the uneasy trade-off to just keep things the same. So no, there is schools aren't subject to the same rules.
Now, is there any liability to the city then for them if somebody were injured because of something they did?
Again, in terms of liability, I would be less concerned because they would be operating within the statute that basically says to the city, hands off at the school site.
So I'm not sure that I'd want to mess with that. If that's the way that law is written, and there's nothing that is there a concern that is prompting this? I'm just trying to a specific concern. I mean, I heard what you said when you introduced the conversation, but I just I'm trying to find out the reason that we would really want to go in there. I don't think that that's any of our business. I'd rather just stay out of it.
Yeah, and I respect that, and I really believe this was driven from our chief building inspector or official who looked at it from the standpoint of the responsibility to the public welfare for assuring a safe environment. We do know that there has been some physical changes to the interior of that facility. We're not aware as to the extent of it because we've not had any reason to inspect it. So I think it was really more a concern, which has since, I think, been addressed, and Corey did so again this evening, that we don't have to perhaps assume fiscal responsibility, I guess, if you will, from any kind of liability claim. I think it was broader than that. Is it still to assure that there's public safety and welfare taken into consideration, because the concern is we don't believe that the school district is in all likelihood monitoring it to a great extent as well. We're not inviting or asking for additional workload, as this would obviously provide. I don't think there's numerous scenarios certainly to suggest this is occurring or hopefully will occur in the future with vacated schools, meaning that we hope not to have many of those. But the precedence has been set by 9 tenants in a single school site. And I think we really just wanted clarification, your awareness of the issue, any legal interpretation, which I think has been founded. So maybe there's no action that truly warranted. It was a matter of the chief building official making the request for clarification for standpoint of public safety.
Gay and then Jim.
Corey, I have some clarification on responsibility on that. So, first of all, Steve, who are the 9 tenants? I know who 2 of them are.
Well, what I have record of here, and I can unfortunately maybe elaborate on their purpose, one of which is the Lord of Life Lutheran Church, Colorado Lutheran High School Association, the YMCA, North Valley Vineyard Church, Rocky Mountain Lutheran High School, Colorado Virtual Academy, Common 3, which I'm not sure as to what their function is, New American School, and proposed another proposed tenant, which is called the Hangout Learning Center.
3 of those fall under the purview of charter schools. Now, Corey, do those fall under the same purview as public schools would?
Yes. In fact, a couple years ago, the state statute was amended to specifically give charter schools the same benefit that that regular public schools have.
So the function of the at least the 3 schools are, there's actually the 4th one. I think the final one is also a 4th charter school that's just now coming before the school bar. The Hangout Learning Center is part of that. So technically, because the other one that you mentioned was the Lutheran Church who holds services there, as does the Grapevine church. For the most part, it sounds to me like the charter schools are actually using it 90% of the time, and that would be the question that I would like to ask of the school district is, okay, if they're using it 90% of the time, it behooves you to make sure that these are safe school because they are on the liability hook then. So I kind of agree with Sherry. Let's leave the school district on the hook.
Actually, she kind of answered part of it right there. I just need to know. If it's not being used for public school use or charter school, then I would say the inspections need to take place. But if it's still being used primarily for as a charter school, it still falls out.
Yeah, and I think it mostly
is. We need clarification to be sure.
Have we had discussions with Rob Weber just to express our concerns about the safety of that and...
It's my understanding that staff has had conversations with representatives from the district. To the extent of the conversations, with whom they had those conversations, I'm not certain.
Perhaps at some point in time it might be worth us setting up a joint meeting with the council and the school board, as we're dealing with other people in the future a little ways as things are getting really busy. But, you know, this is one of those issues that we might want to consider.
This was, I think, really our interest in bringing it to you from an awareness standpoint. If you had real issues of concern, we could address them accordingly. There's nothing that I think is really driving this outside of the concern for public welfare.
Any desire to change anything at this point? Okay. Thanks, Steve. We'll move on the agenda then. Next, city manager search. And I, as we had talked about, during this process that we would make public our list of finalists for the city manager and describe the process. But before I hand this out, I wanted to get some clarification from council as to whether we wanted to do four or three candidates. Two of them are local. The costs of bringing them in would not be very large. My thought is that the more open and inclusive we have, the better off. But I would kind of like to get council's feelings to whether we do three or four first, because then I have your hand out.
Prefer three.
I would prefer three.
I'm thinking three, too. I
wasn't that interested in the fourth, I guess, is my thinking there.
Okay. So, that's three?
Three.
Okay.
Three is fine.
All right. Based on that, then, I have copies for everyone, and I will read this, and there are copies for the public as well, that we have narrowed down the list of finalists to three. Those people in alphabetical order are Aiden E. Hogan, Jr., Thomas J. Hutka, and Arthur J., known as A.J. Krieger. And council discussed the process we wanted to follow in making this final selection. And just so that everyone knows, our charter does call for public interviews and public appointments for the city manager. Council discussed this, and please let me know if I have mischaracterized this. I want to make sure. But on Friday, December 29th, the three invited candidates were to tour the city and meet with staff in all departments. And from 5 to 6:30 p.m., there will be a public reception at the Ramada Plaza for public and staff to have a chance to meet the candidates on an informal basis. On Saturday, September 30th, we would begin candidate interviews, and we anticipate one-hour interviews with 15-minute breaks between each one. We would conclude about, I'm thinking, 12:30, 12:45, have a very, very short lunch break, and at 1 o'clock have a candidate panel. Throughout the morning, and actually at any point in time, the public can submit questions that they would like to ask the candidates. It's only fair that all the candidates had the opportunity to respond to all questions. So our thought was that after the individual interviews, the candidates would all be back, invited back to address the public's questions. We would, and this is what council discussed as well, that the mayor pro tem, and the consultant would go through all those questions just to make sure that we took out duplicates and they were organized according, not to censor any questions by any means, but just to make sure that if we had 15 cards that all had the same question, that we were using our time wisely. At the conclusion of that panel interview, council would then convene an executive session to give direction to the city attorney and the consultant to enter into negotiations with that chosen candidate. Once terms have been agreed to and presented to council, then council would make that appointment in public at the next regular council meeting. We will tape the interviews and air them on Channel 8 so the public, those members of the public who do not have a chance to attend, will be able to see those interviews as well. So, council, have I accurately depicted what we had discussed?
The only thing in here that I remember that we discussed was we weren't going to do it in council chambers. We're going to look to go into the theater, I thought. So we can't do
they
that.
They did. The theater is booked. Oh, okay. The North Glenn High School auditorium is currently under renovation. The difficulty is in just the location.
Okay.
And talking to staff, by removing a lot of this, we can seat up to 75 people here in chambers. And I would be shocked if we had 75 people.
Will we be up here, or how was that going to
be? I think it'd be, no, I would think the candidate would face the audience so that we could tape appropriately. We would sit in front of the camera and the public would watch from behind there. Okay. Is there any other comments or discussion?
Thank you for that.
All right. We will move then on to performance appraisals and outside agency funding council subcommittees. Rosie.
Well, just, you know, I think I reviewed the policy, and this was something we were supposed to appoint first of the year, and I don't know if did we do that?
I think it remained. I think Rosie, we all
can't
it
remember.
Was kind of open.
Rosie,
yeah, we
because I honestly don't remember if we did. I know that.
I think we danced around it and didn't really get there.
But when you spelled it out in the resolution, it was still we were still considered Kathy, Rosie, and Lynn as being the performance appraisal committee.
Right. We did that with those three.
Yeah, we were the three last year. I wouldn't be opposed to the same three.
What did, in fact, do you have resolution?
I do.
What's the date on it?
I don't know. It's just it was from the minutes from that date, so it's not dated.
Okay,
I don't have the date on it.
All right, because if actually maybe we can ask the clerk's office to research that and see if the organ at some point when we establish like the finance committee, agency funding, and that to see if people were appointed to that, and we can confirm.
I just don't think I don't think
we
were.
About it at the
and I know we did it last year, and I know that the outside agency funding group was myself and Susan, and I don't remember even who the third one was.
I believe it was Mayor Novak.
Who?
I believe it was Mayor Novak. You were the third member of the... You weren't?
No.
Was it me?
That she withdrew.
No, it wasn't me, because I said I...
This is terrible that we can't remember this, but we really can't.
That might have been when we were trying to appoint somebody, you know, just...
Nobody wanted it.
Yeah, I think that's what happened on both of them was kind of like... And part of it was, I'm sure, because those of us that were new were going, what?
Yeah. Well, can I suggest that we get clarification on that and bring it back at the next meeting?
Sure.
Just not well, that timely, but we need to do it.
Yeah, soon. Well, the performance appraisal cycle needs to start.
Okay. Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. It's a lot sooner than we started last year, that's for sure.
It is. Thanks, Rose. Safe Street.
Okay. Safe Street. I was approached by Commander May to come forward to council and banter about the apparently over the last few years, council has approved giving them $1,500 towards the club so they can decorate their rooms and do that very nicely for Safe Street. So I would like to make a motion that we go ahead and fund that $1,500 for the clubs.
I'll second. Sherry?
Can we take that out of council's budget?
Can we look and see what
we have in council's budget so it's not coming out of the general fund?
Okay.
Jim?
If council would allow it, I would use my travel expense money to take it all out of there so they could use the entire amount.
I think our policy says we can't do that.
And said exactly he didn't want to direct that our travel money will still go back to the general fund, whatever's left over.
But it was very generous.
Whatever you didn't use. Yeah, that's real clear in the policy.
Okay.
Go ahead, Finn. Let's complete this. I have something to go after the motion.
Okay. So the motion on the floor is to donate $1,500 to Safe Street Halloween program with the police department. Please open the vote.
The vote is now open.
Please vote.
Now we'll close the vote, and the motion to donate $1,500 to the Safe Street Halloween event passes unanimously. And Mayor Novak, I have a printout of the budget amounts that are left in the outside agency funding account for 2006, and we do have $2,200 left if we'd like to take that out of there.
Okay.
Well, that was the contingency.
That was part of the contingency.
There was a contingency, wasn't there?
Mm-hmm.
$2,200.
Mm-hmm. That works.
Yeah.
All right. Great. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Next.
One more question about Safe Street Halloween. Do we want to do a council booth? Because council's always done a booth. And can I count on y'all to be there if we're going to do it?
I'll be in the procession with my kids. So.
Okay.
I'll say hi.
I'm willing to help out.
What date is this? Is it actually?
It is the 28th of October. So it's the Saturday before Halloween.
Oh, Michael, your kids are too little.
Yeah, I'll be with my kids.
I hope today, but I can't.
Okay. All right. Well, I will work on getting us a little booth to from fund services like former Councilman Gillespie used to do. So,
thank you for heading that up. Next is NNDC discussion. Gay?
I wanted to discuss the email that's been going around with Steve about the waiving of the permits for NNDC. And the building permits, much like we did the North Metro Fire Department. My thought process on this is that we should waive it for a period of time. That gives them time to get financially on their feet to where they'll be financially solvent to be able to pay for those permits at causing no problems with them. They are 501c3, so they are a nonprofit organization. They're not in it to make the money, and they are in it to take and make our neighborhoods a little better. So.
Chief has a message.
Chief.
I don't mean to speak for Bill or for anyone else who knows more than I about this, but I believe that the reason that they were requesting this was not necessarily for things that they were building, but this would be something that would be a benefit for any resident who came in to utilize NNDC services, and if NNDC was the one who did the design or was involved in it, that the permit fees would be waived so that the cost of the construction would be that much less, even though those fees are not traditionally tremendous. They can be in the thousands of dollars if someone was doing some kind of an extensive renovation. So I don't know if you want to change what clarification,
Steve, does he want it for just the two or three that they're doing, or is it for the clients too?
Honestly, it was my recollection for the houses they were having direct intended work on. I may be mistaken on that, but that was my initial understanding.
I know there was a second portion of it that included what Chief was talking about, but I was actually talking about the three houses that they're doing.
And that was my thought.
I have Jim and then Sherry.
I think it's actually possibly even bigger than that, like what he was just talking about. It could actually be outside of that as well. But I have a question. If somebody like Habitat for Humanity wanted to come into Northland and build a house, are we going to waive the fees for them as well? I doubt it. If they're going to come in, they're going to be building a house, going to be getting somebody in. It's the same issue to me. It's an outside agency that's not part of the actual city. It's not like the fire department. Have an issue with that still. If we're going to waive it for that group, we're going to have to be looking at waiving it for a lot of other people.
Sherry?
Well, it sounds to me like it goes beyond the three houses, and I can see some issues starting up with that too. If somebody can't afford the plans or doesn't want to use NNDC, but they do want to make improvements to their home. It just kind of seems unfair. I don't have a problem with waiving the fee for the houses that NNDC buys to to show as show homes, but I think that extending it beyond that is not fair.
Sounds like we need to get some clarification from Bill Sullivan, right?
I actually just pulled up his email communication to me, and verbatim it says, one more thing that was discussed in my conversation with the mayor, NNDC had requested a waiver of the permit fees and the plan check fees for the properties that it will rehab and sell. So actually
that's three.
But that's not saying that they could be buying more homes later on.
And I don't have a problem with them doing it, waiving all of them. Because it's a service to the community. I mean, and their goal is to just help improve the face of Northland, so I don't have a problem with that. So,
and then in addition, I know that for those, they've gotten tremendous, they've gotten a lot of donated supplies and materials. To clarify, the way I understand your motion is to agree to waive the fees only for NNDC properties that they will be remodeling.
And I think that we can make that part of the motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. Seconded by Pies.
Again, second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded to waive fees. Waive permit and plan check fees for NNDC properties that they will rehab. Please vote.
For the next 2 years. I did limit that.
All right. So
I did limit that. I would like to limit that to 2 years because I think that in 2 years they should be solvent enough to be able to do it on their own.
Okay. So, Jana, if you would just make that note on the website.
Will do.
That is a 2 year period.
Thank you, Jana.
Okay, please vote.
Now we'll close the vote now. And the motion to waive the fees for the NNDC properties passes with two noes from council members Klein and Miller. Excuse me.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is public invited to be heard. If anyone would like to address council on any issue, here's your chance. You ought to jump fast, Don. I almost didn't see you. After 10 o'clock, we move quick to the gavel.
Don Onema, Ward 1. Just a couple of things. On CR 111, as a layman, the first thing that came to my mind when I heard that she was getting overtime, fraud. Second thing, that being a layman and not knowing criminal law, if it's not fraud, it's definitely unethical double dipping. And the other thing that I have is the last study session, one of the liquor authority members got up and ask that we consider not making mandatory fines for an owner that is caught serving. However, the way that we were looking at things, the server, if it's not the owner, is going to look at a $500 fine, loss of his license, and never allowed to work in Northland again. That's not how it came. As a server in Northland, I'm sorry, he could still do another job.
That was discussed.
That was a recommendation.
Yes.
Right. And we've not made any.
I know you haven't made any action yet.
Yeah.
But in my mind, the owner has got a greater stake, and his fine, if anything, not only mandatory, should be bigger, and his loss of license should be permanent. I don't think we should have any leeway for that. That's all.
Thank you.
Thanks, Don.
Is there anyone else who would like to address council? All right. Last, we've had a request by staff for an executive session on legal and contractual matters. The council has been provided a brief memo on the content of that. And I would move that we go into an executive session after adjournment.
I was waiting until the end to see. Marion passed out this resolution on the International Day of Peace, and I didn't really pay attention. I mean, if we were going to adopt this, I don't know. I don't think she specifically asked us, but it is for September 21st.
She asked me if we could do a resolution or if we could. She wanted a she asked about a proclamation, and I told her I would ask Kathy if she wanted a proclamation.
We can do proclamations either by council or by mayor, and it doesn't. You don't need a council meeting to do that. Like a proclamation, we can certainly have one and get it to her.
I just wanted the action because, well, we didn't want to wait till the next meeting because it is September 21st.
Right.
And she did go to the trouble of doing this. I don't know if we need to do an anything. If we could do a proclamation informally without doing the meeting, that's fine.
Absolutely. And if you'd like it from all of council instead of just the mayor, we can do that.
That would be great.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Could you do that then?
Will do.
Great. Thank you. All right. So we need... Oh,
she closed it.
Closed it. Can I vote? No. Sorry.
Got a new password.
No, it can't log me on.
It's also on the new password.
What?
I use my old one.
No, let's do it.
Let's just vote verbally.
I'll vote verbally and fix it. So the motion is to convene, to move into executive session following adjournment. Okay. Please vote. My vote is yes.
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 Are you calling roll?
Call roll.
Yes.
Call roll.
All those in favor? All those opposed? All right. We are then adjourned. And council, we're going to just move into that other room because it'll be quicker. Joanna has to shut things down and post this so we can just move over there. And Steve, can we get David Allen to come in too?
Yes.